much about.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating, but scared to kick reality.
Yo, Dre, you've been doing all this dope producing. You had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
Hey, yo, Easy. Hey, man, we should come off the piano for a minute, man, and bust this crazy.
Woke up quick at about noon. Just thought that I had to be in Compton soon. I gotta get drunk before the day begins, before my mother starts bitching about my friends.
Rap music. Thanks, Obama.
Sipping on gin and juice. Laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
I hope you like these rhymes. I hope you like my flow. I love you in those shorts with that camel toe.
And now,
I'm the president of rap music, and I need to work with you right away.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 17th of August.
Sup, you guys.
Sup.
Sup. Allie, you seem very peppy today.
I had some extra sleep.
Really? How come?
Yeah.
How'd you work that out?
I'm not sure. I never sleep through the night, ever, ever. I wake up 2 to 3 times.
Uh-huh.
Alarm went off. I was very confused.
Your car alarm.
What, you mean? My car alarm. Well, someone else's. Yeah, it's a very rare thing.
And you went, wow, I slept.
I slept through the night like a baby.
Pretty sweet.
If babies did that.
And I forgot to ask, I know we've asked you this before, but you sleep in the back seat or you put the front seat down?
I recline it. I recline
you recline
it
the front seat
yeah.
to sleep there.
Yeah. Thanks for
well,
asking.
That's nice.
That's
and,
nice.
You're able to find a spot that's not under a street light or something like that so you can get a dark spot?
I go to places that have timers, so I have a log where I keep everything written down.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
I hate
good.
You both so much.
Why do you hate us? You're the one living in your car.
People really believe that, you guys. It's very sad.
I know. That's the best part.
I
weird.
Really believe it's the best part.
Okay.
So I've never seen any evidence to the contrary. There certainly hasn't been a, hey, my Kevin and Bean radio family, come over to my apartment and have a party. There hasn't been any invitation like that extended.
Yeah, there won't be.
If a place like that really exists.
That doesn't negate having a home. I just don't want you there.
I'm just saying it would be customary to invite people
Probably
over
a good choice.
Yeah,
for
I think
a
so.
While. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Anyone do anything exciting over the weekend? Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Nixa, Missouri is where we started. I never heard of Nixa. N-I-X-A is the name of the town. Nixa, Missouri. There's a lady in the news. Her name is Linda Laffelholz. She's out to dinner at a restaurant with her mom, Terry Pitts. Here's the quote. We had just gotten our meal, and in walks this lady and this man, and the lady had a snake around her neck at first, and it started to slither off of her neck down into the booth behind her. She was pulling at it, and I just started trembling, and I said, we've got to get out of here. We've got to get out of here. They say the woman holding the snake handed it to the man across the table when Laffelholz snapped a picture and immediately expressed her concern to their server. I think you guys can see where the story is headed, by the way.
Yeah.
The manager came over to us.
They cooked it for lunch?
No. The manager came over to us and said, I spoke with the couple, and they say it's a service animal.
Oh, come on!
Service animal.
So we have to allow him to stay. So that's when my mom and I decided that we would not stay. The restaurant is called El Puente. The manager said that he allowed the snake to stay because of the man's claim. But he said, no, it's my service animal. I'm allowed to have it because it helps me with my depression. So the manager said, I told him, I'm sorry about that, but a snake in a restaurant is not the best thing. And he said to me, it's no different than having a dog service animal sitting right here. So that's a thing now that I'm sure Adam Carolla has already heard about because he's been railing against service animals forever. I did not realize until I saw this, by the way, as popular as service animals seem to be in America, according to the American with Disabilities Act from 2011, service animals can be defined as dogs only.
You know I believe these are emotional support animals. That's what they claim they are. Not service, but emotional support. And
it's a whole
different ball game.
And that's why he goes depression. In other words, this isn't an animal that I need to help me see or move around.
Right.
It's just to make me feel better.
Right.
ADA Act says if somebody says they have a service monkey or a service cat or a service snake, it is not the case. It is only defined as dogs. So
it's gone too far.
I need a service monkey.
No.
I really
don't.
Do. Who needs a service monkey more than me? That would be awesome.
Well, we have often said that you need a monkey.
I need a monkey.
Let me see. The rules define service animals as dogs that have been individually trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of an individual with a disability. A snake, by the way, also poses a concern for public safety, says a spokesperson for the city. NHTSA police or animal control would have responded had they called. Management didn't know what to do because they didn't want to violate anybody's rights, but that's understandable. But the other patrons could have called 911. It doesn't have to be a restaurant that calls in.
Huh.
So the city is saying, hey, call us and we'll come come take care of your snake problem. So I have depression, so I have to travel with a snake.
Yeah,
that's the
thing
that's happening right now.
Yep.
So there you go. Good times in NHTSA, Missouri.
You need a monkey. That's my takeaway, is I need a monkey.
I don't think that was the right takeaway.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Amin Show, shall we?
I bring people joy. What do you do?
Kathy Griffin brings people joy.
She does.
She's going to be on the show today. Very excited about that. Patrick Stewart is going to be here.
So good.
I don't know. I just feel like he's going to realize that he's on our show and cancel at any moment. But so far, so good.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody told him we were like an offshoot of NPR.
Right.
Something happened.
That's fine. Let's let him think that until he gets here. Then we'll ruin it. Harvey Levin from TMZ, as we do on Mondays. We have Rob Corddry. One of my favorite people in all the world. And we have your tickets for Mumford & Sons at the Troub. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
T-Bow! Believe!
How was T-Bow Mania in Philadelphia, Ralph Garman?
Full blown.
Was it fun?
T-Bow Mania.
Was it awesome?
It was strange.
What does that mean, strange?
It perplexes me, the Tebow mania. He seems to be just a sweetheart of a guy. Mm-hmm. And I know he's very faith-based.
Right.
But never really accomplished much as a football player.
And right. Yet tries hard.
You have never seen a stadium more excited in the fourth quarter of a preseason game than it was at Lincoln Financial Field yesterday when the fans were just going nuts when Tebow came out.
I wasn't watching, but I did see on social media that it sounded like a playoff game at one point.
And the stand filled with people with 15 jerseys from his college days and sporting the new Eagles Tebow jerseys, which I hope you kept the receipt because I don't know how much longer he's going to be around, quite frankly. It was nuts. And then he had a pretty good first series. And then he went right into Tebow mode. And then he ran the ball in for a touchdown, which is what he does.
That's
there
it.
You go. All right.
So, I mean, he looked very much like Tim Tebow.
All right. And how was Sanchito?
He looked very much like Sanchez.
Oh, that's not good news. He
looked like mid-season form Sanchez.
That is not good.
He seems that every wide receiver is about 8 feet tall. And he throws it over about 2 feet over everybody's head.
Of those two, which would you rather have?
I would rather have Matt Barkley or Sam Bradford.
Mm, okay.
Barkley actually looked pretty good yesterday. But the real excitement for Eagles fans, and I was talking to some buddies about this yesterday, is Nelson Aguilar. From the USC, wide receiver. Kid looks like he's just going to blow up.
If you can get the ball to him,
well,
that
that's
would
the
be
thing.
Great.
Sanchez threw it about 8 feet over his head.
Right.
And he just jumped about 8 feet in the air and caught the
sweet.
Ball and then ran it in for a touchdown. So I think this guy, if he can catch Sanchez's balls, this kid can catch anything. So it was fun. It was fun to watch some football over the weekend.
So exciting to have football back. So, so very exciting. All right, it is Monday morning. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a brand new week.
Because it is Monday, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office to try to get a gauge on what people went to see over the weekend. And apparently it was Straight Outta Compton, or SOC, as I like to call it.
No one calls it that.
Everybody's calling it SOC.
Zero people.
S-O-C, SOC.
Not even you're calling it that.
SOC it to me. I'm calling it. Calling sock block on you. That's what I'm calling right now.
Nope.
Wow.
Hey, Ralph, just thinking back to Friday's show. If you didn't go see Sock this weekend, are you a sucker?
You're a sucker. That's right. It did as well as everyone expected. $56 million over the weekend. Pretty good. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation came in second, a distant second, $17.3 million. Then The Man from U.N.C.L.E. debuted with $13.5. That was good enough to make it number three. Fantastic Four and The Gift were your top five movies at the box office, then Ant-Man, Vacations, Minions, Ricky and the Flash, and Trainwreck. Those were your top 10 movies at the box office. This is going to come as a shock to you. But Donald Trump is saying disparaging things about Mexicans.
What?
I know, right? Who could see that coming?
It's not possible.
On Sunday, Trump finally outlined a policy regarding immigration reform.
Okay.
He has three core principles, he says, regarding immigration reform. Get rid of the Mexicans, and the Mexicans. So those were his three core principles.
Seems strange. Seems like the same thing.
For years, Mexico's leaders have been taking advantage of the United States by using illegal immigration to export the crime and poverty in their own country.
Yeah.
He said, once again.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I don't know much about illegal immigration, but I don't see, like, Mexican government chartering flights and just flying Mexicans into the country. I think he thinks there's a bigger conspiracy maybe than it is. I think there are some financially disadvantaged Mexicans who say, I might have a better life if I go to America.
I would think that's most of it.
It would seem like that would be the cause of it, more so than the government having some evil plan to send us all their drug dealers and what have you. But
I saw the best description for Donald Trump this weekend. He was referred to as a Donald Trump enthusiast.
That's a good point.
That was about right.
By the way, Trump will be reporting for jury duty this morning.
Oh.
Sadly, in the past, he was fined for $250 earlier this year for failing to appear for jury duty several times, Kevin.
What a dick.
Several times.
Wow.
A spokesperson for Trump said he never showed because the summons were sent to an incorrect address.
Oh, that happens.
So
that
he never got the summons.
That can happen.
Kevin is what Donald Trump is saying, Kevin.
That can happen.
So Donald Trump
How
is saying
dare
that
you?
He never got the summons, and that's why he never did jury duty, Kevin.
I'd like him to be on the jury in mid-trial go,
I've made my decision. You're fired.
That would be great. But for some reason now he's reporting for jury duty.
Huh.
Bright and early, trying to be a good American.
Well, I mean, when the summons gets to you, you're happy to serve.
But what about some people who say they never got the summons,
Those
Kevin?
People and, are bad people.
And in reality, they did get the summons, Kevin, and then they just throw the summons away, Kevin.
I don't know what you're talking about.
People say it'll be easy to see Donald at the jury duty this morning. He'll be wearing a hat that says, Best Juror Ever. So that's how you'll know it's him. And real quickly, very exciting news over the weekend. D23, the expo, was held this weekend. That's the Disney Expo. They get their own expo. They don't need your stinking Comic-Con or anything else. You just go to D23, the Disney Expo. And the big news there was Disney announced they're building two 14-acre Star Wars theme parks.
Weren't they denying this like last week?
Well, yeah, they've got to announce it on their own.
You've got to save it for D23. They will, of course, be part of their parks at Orlando, Florida, and, of course, down in Anaheim. The Disney parks will feature staff dressed up as humanoids, aliens, and droids, according to Disney Chief Rob Iger.
How many of the 365 days of the year will Allie be there?
All?
She's just going to park in the parking lot,
that's
true. She can just live there.
Just live there.
My question is, how soon until Chip leaves us to go back to work for Disney as R2-D2? That's what I'm guessing. You see her just rolling around in a trash can all day? I absolutely could see that happening. She might be a little short. They might have to put some booster pads there for her, but I'm just saying. Chip is R2-D2.
I like it.
Magic.
What, I'm gonna be an Ewok, dude.
You want to be an Ewok? All right, we'll make you an Ewok.
That's a good idea,
You don't want to be an Ewok, in July.
So hot, Chip. Rethink that.
Star Wars land. At least with, R2-D2, maybe they got a fan they could put in there or something.
They don't have a
fan in there. An air conditioner or something.
Ralph, did they make any kind of announcement as to what aspects of the films they're going to turn into rides?
All. I mean, they're talking about a Mos Eisley cantina. A climactic battle that will actually happen in the park between the First Order and the Resistance. So you'll be right in the middle of a big Star Wars battle. Mm. It seems like they're going to really pull out all stops, and should be pretty impressive.
Cool.
Just hope I'm alive to see it.
Wow.
What?
I have no idea how long it's going to take to build these parks. Sometimes it takes, a long time. Have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of aliens, TV show host Juliana Rancic celebrates her birthday today. She's 41 years old today.
She got called back to the home planet, right?
Boop, 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 boop. Door open and she just bloom, bloom. She just walked her gray body up the ramp. Donnie Wahlberg's 46. Sean Penn celebrates his 55th birthday today. And actor Robert De Niro A little bit I did. 72 years old today. 72, Bobby
wow.
De Niro.
Yeah.
Our heroes are getting old, boys and girls. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Than I've ever been.
Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6.07.
I don't think I've ever heard the very last second of that song.
See? That's the kind of entertainment I provide.
Hey, big week here on The Kevin and Bean Show, including tickets for you to see Mumford & Sons in a private K-Rock concert this Wednesday night at the Troubadour. Yeah, you heard me right. One of the biggest bands in the world doing two big shows at the Forum this week. Also doing a tiny little show at the Troubadour for K-Rock. Go to K-Rock.com for more details and a chance to win. Or keep on listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll give you a chance to call in next hour here on K-Rock.
Our own beer mug went to the OC Fair.
Yeah. Well, that's a match made in heaven, Mugs. You must love that.
It's like I died and went to heaven.
Yeah.
He did some interviews, which are all pretty good.
Mugs, do you you go for the food, not the rides, right?
Actually, I wanted to ride one of the rides, but I wasn't tall enough, the little seagull splash ride. But no, yeah, I go for the food. And you said the interviews were good, Kevin?
Oh, fantastic.
Like good or good bad?
Well, like Mugs good.
Okay.
Like this.
What's up, party people? K-Rock. Yeah. Let me know when you're ready. All right, we're ahead. All right, take two.
So you got that going for you.
All right.
Start like that.
What's up, party people? Beer Mug here at the 2015 OC Fair. You should see the amount of food they have here.
Wow. Why? What happened there?
Are you talking so slow?
I don't know. Maybe I was trying to stretch that sentence out.
Nailed it.
Thank you, Allie.
No one is more happy than Muggs at the OC Fair eating food. He's going on a tour of the food.
All right, we're here at the OC Fair at Chicken Charlie's, our first stop on our food tour here. And we're here with Gerald of Chicken Charlie's.
Chicken Gerald.
Take three. We're here at the OC Fair at our first food stop of our crazy food tour. Nice. We're here at the OC Fair at our first stop of our crazy food tour. Take three.
Is that three? Are we on three? Because I feel like we're on eight.
That might have been. Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, you said the interviews were good. Do we ever hear any of them?
That's what you're hearing right now, Bean.
All right, here we go. I promise, Gerald, I'll make it quick and painless.
Too late. Oh, I love it. Take all day.
And what's this I hear about a $125 Twinkie caviar concoction?
Well, we've been selling the deep fried Twinkie for years, and you know we decided to one up ourselves, and we put caviar on a Twinkie. And we sell that for $125 in honor of the 125th anniversary of the Orange County Fair.
Now, Muggs, did you eat that?
I did
because
not.
Because that sounds terrible.
Well, it sounds terrible, Kevin, but surprisingly, a lot of people that do purchase this thing say it's unbelievable. But I did not.
Why did you not eat it then?
Well, I didn't have $125, and they let me try other things. But, yeah, that's the special item on the list, so I didn't get to try it.
I don't think I've ever tried caviar. Does it? Forgive me if this is a stupid question. Does it taste like fish?
Yeah, it's got like a fishy, like black caviar. Like,
wait, Muggs is the only one in this room that's tried caviar.
It's got concerning. Like a fishy kind of unique taste to it.
Okay, so that doesn't sound like a good match with a Twinkie, with the sweetness of a Twinkie to me.
They make it good. I mean, surprisingly, they sell a lot of them. The guy told me.
Bean Muggs is the only one that's tasted caviar.
At his kind of weird,
you know?
Wow.
So, Tony, how long do these take about to cook up?
Wow. Good sentence.
That's good.
Might that be the best question ever?
So those are the bacon-wrapped...
Bacon-wrapped pickles.
Pickles. Oh, yeah. I can't wait. If you like pickles and you like bacon, well, there you go.
What a salesman. You're really bringing that to life.
Wait, did you come up with that off the top of your head, Muggs?
Ad lib right there.
Amazing. Wow. That's crazy.
If you don't like deep fried Oreos, you're un-American.
Oh, yeah.
Powdered sugar. Oh, you got to have the powdered sugar. Oh, my gosh. Tony, you're the man. There it goes. The deep fried Klondike bar. First time ever. I could die happy now.
Where's the microphone going?
Well, did somebody else take the microphone and walk away?
Here's the thing, Kevin. They let me cook up and fry up some stuff, so I was literally, my hands were full, so I didn't know, my mic was under my armpit as I was trying to deep fry stuff.
And your armpit was growing because you're eating so much.
Yeah.
So it was just getting further and further away.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow.
There's no video of this, is there?
Yes, there is.
And it's up at KROQ.com right now.
I feel like I don't want to see this.
You
After hearing this, I feel like I don't.
It's because awesome. He brought it so much to life, you feel like you already saw
yes,
it?
That, okay. And I'll puke if I watch that.
Okay. And it's okay to lick your fingers, right?
Right.
Awesome. Oh. All right, here we go. Deep fried cookie dough. Just when you thought it wouldn't get better,
it does.
Oh, yeah.
I think if the health board would have showed up and saw me in their kitchen, they would have shut the whole place down.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, let's be honest.
It's the fair.
It's the fair.
Oh, okay.
It's the OC fair. But you guys make the Texas donut Samoa.
Correct.
Oh, my gosh. How many of those do you sell a day?
You know, I don't have that number right on hand.
Right on hand, but
I'm sure a lot, right?
Right.
I'm sure that it's a lot. You sell a lot of them, though, huh?
You guys got to try that. It's amazing.
It's like the Girl Scout cookie Samoa?
It's like the
But it's,
the
you caramel. Sell a lot? Did you say a little or a lot?
A lot? He should have known that, though.
He should have had a number.
He should have just thrown a number out. How are you going to test him?
That's right.
Muggs has some follow-up on that one.
That is better than a Samoa Girl Scout cookie.
Oh.
Very nice job, you guys.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh. Woo!
They loved you. They loved you in
well,
that.
Well, he's
got enough.
He's a guy who's just going, he's falling apart because of all of this delicacy.
He's like an enthusiastic eater.
He is.
By the way, half of his report is just him making guttural sounds while he eats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't even know what I'm listening to anymore.
I mean, I think what Ali said, you really brought it to life, Bugs. I think what she was suggesting is maybe, I don't know, maybe share what you're feeling and seeing and experiencing with the listener.
I think my mind just went numb and I just couldn't make descriptions of things. It was like...
Yeah.
Really?
What?
Take
you
want to
finish that?
Take three.
Your mind just went numb.
Okay, you've got potatoes with sweet chili and sour cream.
So if I eat this, I will be an honorary Australian.
You will.
Fantastic. Here, why don't you go ahead and pour that on for me, can you? Oh, yeah, that's how it's done. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So it's got the sweet chili and the sour cream.
Does anybody else feel like they're watching porn?
Yes.
Listening to porn?
And, of course, the Australian battered potato. Here it goes, you guys.
That is
burning my mouth. Burning my mouth. Fantastic.
What? I'm saying what?
Oh, my God. Would you say that's crikey?
Yes, mate.
Did you say throw the shrimp on the Barbie? Because I didn't hear that part
no,
if you did.
What? No,
what?
I know, I should have.
How could you not if you're going to...
Bugs, how are you feeling at this point in the eating around the OC County Fair?
Well, people are sure getting a taste of what it sounds like when I eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but how are you feeling? Like, how's your stomach after this combination of food? Yeah.
I start feeling terrible, actually. It's everything that's mixing in my stomach. It's it's not good.
You've gained like 20 pounds since
already.
Friday.
Yeah.
Carmel, watch out for that kangapede. Have you heard about the kangapede?
No, I haven't.
It's half kangaroo, half centipede.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Watch out. They hide in the bush, and they're nasty things.
Okay. I'll definitely do that.
My ad-libbing right there.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, all right.
It's good. Watch out for the kangaroo.
I can't wait to swim in the ranch and just shove my face with deep-fried pizza.
We can't wait to watch that. Well.
Deep-fried pickle chicken goodness. Right here is their signature dish, the Cool Lickle. That's right. Kool-Aid and pickle. It's a Kool-Aid infused pickle, if you didn't hear me the first time.
That sounds terrible.
Awful.
It was interesting.
Are they just out of making up good food combinations now at the fair, and now they just are forced to put awful things together?
Put Kool-Aid in a pickle.
It was very interesting. Yeah.
No, that's terrible.
Yeah.
This has to be something terrible there, Muggs.
It was terrible.
Okay.
All right, there you have it, folks. Pretty much eating everything you can possibly eat at the fair, and I think I'm going to go throw up now. Bye.
Yeah.
Wow.
By the way, I have this video up at Carrot.com right now. You think it's tough to listen to.
Do you want to watch it?
You should see Muggs shoving this food in. I mean, he eats enthusiastically.
Yeah.
Like a pig in slop, I was.
Going to be a pretty good show today for a Monday. Our friend Kathy Griffin stops by later on today. Also, the hilarious Rob Corddry will be here. And for the first time ever in the Kevin and Bean studio, Sir Patrick Stewart. Harvey Levin, what about that? What about Patrick Stewart slumming it with the Kevin and Bean show later today?
You got a sir in?
Yes.
Wow.
I know. Yeah. I know. Although, you know, we have you every week, so that's just as good. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in the newsroom ahead of his meeting, putting together their fine selection of TV shows all over Fox Channel 11 today and TMZ.
By the way, guys, I want to bet
You won a bet.
Uh-huh.
What was the bet?
I just knew that Straight Outta Compton would do more than $50 million, and it did.
You know, that is what you, then you were an outlier on that, because the best Hollywood predictions had it less than that.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, this is the best. I don't know about you guys. I think this is the best marketing campaign I've seen in memory. I just cannot believe how good this marketing campaign for this movie was.
And what was it about the campaign you thought that was exceptional, besides the fact that obviously it's a great story that's waiting to be told?
They could have made this a real kind of urban type movie where it's going to play, you know, in certain areas and not others. And they made this a really broad, interesting movie that everybody, you know, because there's so many people that were influenced by this in so many ways, and yet, you know, it could have been marketed more as a niche movie, and mm-hmm. I think the way they did it, I mean, I just love they put Straight Out of Compton, you know, in the air and skywriting in Malibu, and the way they had a bus stop campaign, and the way they advertised on television. I thought the promos were amazing. I just thought overall it was an incredible campaign.
By the way, the movie was great too, and all movies that are 2.5 hours need to be a half hour shorter, except for this one, because there's so much that went on that you were aware of and stuff. They literally, it felt like you got a little short. It was a little too short.
Wow.
You know, it's funny. There was a guy at my gym who came up to me on Thursday and said he knows Jerry Heller very well, and Jerry Heller is just livid over the movie.
Well, Jerry doesn't look good.
Livid.
Yeah, he doesn't look good in the movie, if that's what you're saying.
He's the evil white man in the film, right? Yeah.
He's the evil white man in the film. And I guess he felt he should have been consulted in terms of character development, but it's kind of like, I don't know.
Not even a little bit, Jerry.
Well,
sit down.
It's already made back something like twice the money it cost to make it, so they got to be pretty happy at Universal. Okay. It was great. Hey, Harvey, real quick, a couple things on TMZ that are interesting. One is I'm a little bit interested in this Matt Barnes Rihanna story, and here's why. Because I always feel like celebrities date each other because they can. And if you're a star, like Matt Barnes has been a star for the Memphis Grizzlies for a number of years, if you're a professional athlete, I feel like there's no harm in trying to date somebody like Rihanna because you have an in, and I think you have a chance.
I'm not sure I see it that way. It's my favorite story of the weekend for sure. We get this video of Matt Barnes, and he is saying, well, you know, there are rumors about Rihanna and me dating, and, you know, they're just rumors, but I don't know. We'll see where it goes. We'll see where it takes us. And he made it sound like they're kind of heading down that path. I was confused because I thought she was dating Lewis Hamilton, the race car driver. I mean, it sure looked that way to us. And so, and I know that Matt Barnes and Rihanna did go out on a couple of dates, but it looked like she moved on or he moved on or something. And, you know, Lewis Hamilton was all over the place, so I was kind of confused by the video. Well, Rihanna goes on Instagram a couple hours later. Not that into you. So not that into you. This hurts my feelings. Defamation of character.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of rough. All right, you don't want to date me. Take it easy. Come on.
Oh, God. That is hilarious. Just hilarious.
She shot him down. I love that.
Oh, God. It was great.
And what other story? This is going to make Allie very sad because she worships at the church of the TV series Empire. You've got an actor whose name I didn't know, although I know his character Hakeem on the show, who caused a little bit of a dust up in New Orleans.
Yeah. So he is in Memphis. And his name is Yaz Gray, but it's okay. We can just know him as Hakeem.
All right.
So he is at this bar, and there are 35 people in line. So he decides that he should be able to go in the exit, and the security guards start. You know, they tell him you can't do it, and he's like, "What do you mean I can't do it?" And they get into a thing, and then his security ends up pulling him away. And I think what this is you got this really young guy on this ridiculously hot show, mm-hmm. and, you know, you feel your oats, and everybody lets you into everything, and all of a sudden, this one place that doesn't, it's like, what do you mean you don't? Everybody else is. That's right. My guess. I mean, I'm going to try to play Dr. Phil here, but that's probably what happened. I mean, nobody got hurt or anything, but I have a feeling it's just kind of that new star power type thing.
You do have some pretty choice video up, though, of this scene going down and somebody in line actually actually getting it on tape. That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I just feel like you have to be bigger than Hakeem on Empire to be playing the Don't You Know Who I Am card.
He is big. I mean, this show is huge.
Yeah.
And you know, he's one of the stars of the show. I mean, he is a big actor right now.
Allie, would you let him in?
Yeah, I would. Drip, drop, drip, drippity, drop. A fantastic song. Anyone?
Oh. All right. TMZ on the TV today on Channel 11. TMZ Live airs at 4, and TMZ Hollywood Sports airs on the Reels channel. Harvey, have a great week, sir. Thanks for coming on.
See you guys.
So, Oslo, Norway, is in the news. A plane is on the runway, and it is preparing to take off for the island of Crete, which I think is down there by Greece. And some of the passengers noticed that maybe the flight crew is not fit to serve. And they pick up their phone and call the police and say, hey, could you come intervene in this flight? Because I think there's something going on with this flight crew. And the police board the plane, you guys, and 4 out of the 5 members of the flight crew, including both pilots, are drunk.
Yay!
Can you imagine that? There were 109 people on the plane. Can you imagine 4 out of the 5 people, both pilots are drunk?
And they're getting ready to take off. I mean, they were going forward with their duties. They were going to take off that plane and fly to Greece from Norway.
That's terrifying.
It is terrifying. So they, of course, canceled the flight, and everybody was sent back into the airport, and they rescheduled them all. And 5 hours later, they took off on another plane. But, I mean, I guess they'd rather have that delayed than take their chances with a drunk flight crew. But we wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave, who can we talk to with the airlines or with the crew or whoever? And I believe we do have a pilot, Anders Gunner, on the line with us from Oslo. Anders, can you hear us okay, sir?
Yes, I can hear you okay. How are you doing today?
Very good, thank you. We're doing fine now. Were you involved at all in this flight we were talking about from Norway to Crete?
Well, if you mean by involved, you were the pilot of the flight, then yes.
Oh, you were actually part of that flight. You were the pilot for that plane.
Yes, I was.
Well, then
hold on, hold, please hold in a second.
Right. Yes.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your pilot speaking. I'm going to be taking my hands off the wheel for a minute because I have to talk to guys on the radio. Okay, bye-bye.
You can do both. Can't you do both?
It's okay. No worries.
Okay.
You shouldn't really be doing an interview while you're flying a plane, though.
Don't worry about it. It's simple to do.
Okay, so what about that? What about that date last week? Then why were you and so many other members of your flight crew drunk?
Oh, because we like to party. Hey, everybody, have a good time.
I feel like the pilot shouldn't want to party, though.
Listen, do you have any idea how long the winters are in Norway?
I imagine a long time,
right?
So depressing,
right?
Right, but that's true for everybody. But you still can't fly drunk.
You can't.
Was this a one-off thing, or has it happened before?
It's only happened one time, as far as the authorities know.
How about now?
How about now? Let's put it out of champagne. Anyone champagne, anyone?
Oh, you shouldn't be drinking
champagne. Would you like some?
Not while you're flying.
I'll send you some champagne for this wonderful interview you're doing.
Oh, no. How many people are in that cockpit with you?
Did you hear what you just said? Sexy time!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
How about Ralph Garman and another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning?
All right, if you want.
What?
I'm just...
Already?
Yeah, it's just...
What? What's going on?
I'm still reeling.
Because
from Joe and Samantha, and right. what they did to Julia,
and they are last those night. Are names oh. of people on
Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh boy, yeah,
Bachelor in Paradise
from Bip.
Bip.
Who could have guessed that Joe the Hillbilly and seemingly sweet former Miss USA Samantha would be the evilest couple in Bachelor in Paradise history? What they did to Julia, a widow and single mother, is without exception, the most evil act ever perpetrated by man.
Oh, God.
The most more than evil?
More than that German guy?
Oh, all right, the German guy, maybe. Maybe he just edges them out. But I'm telling you, oh, those bastards. Those bastards.
It was heartless, was it?
It was just disgusting. And they plotted, they talked, and they planned before they got there. We know what's going on, Joe and Sam.
Oh, they plotted before the show even took place.
Yes, Allie, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, Ralph, how'd you come in today?
you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You got to press on.
Aren't we a day early for the Bachelor in Paradise recap?
Dude, two nights. It's on two nights.
It's on last night and it's on tonight.
All right.
So why don't you stand down?
Okay.
How's this is second to Hitler, Bean. Right. For God's sakes, yes. It deserves a little airtime. Yeah.
You know what? If these were robots we were talking about, you'd have time for it. If this was a robot couple in paradise, you'd be all over. If these were pugs or freaking, if they're a bulldog couple, we couldn't get you to stop talking about them. So why don't you just pipe down? Shut your cookie hole.
Hey, how's that old lady Claire holding up? She died of natural causes on the show,
she's
yeah?
She's a mess, too. She's a mess. She could barely get through the rose ceremony last night. Oh, telling you. Just Bachelor in Paradise and a nice bottle of Chardonnay and boom.
It's perfect night.
Got yourself an evening right there.
Had a razor blade, it sounds like.
All right, let's talk about show business news other than Bachelor in Paradise. Straight Outta Compton did very well for itself, exceeding expectations. $56.1 million made it number one in its debut. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, a distant second, $17.3 million, made it number two. Then The Man from U.N.C.L.E. did $13.5 in its debut weekend. Fantastic Four and The Gift were your top five movies at the box office. Ant-Man, Vacation, Minions, Ricky and the Flash, and Trainwreck, rounding up your top 10 movies at the box office. That's what people went to see this weekend. Disney Expo over the weekend, D23. A lot of big stories coming out of that. Not only the two 14-acre Star Wars-themed amusement parks that'll be part of the Orlando and Anaheim Disney parks, but also the announcement of the next Toy Story film. Toy Story 4 will be out in July of 2017. Mark your calendars. I'm sorry, June of 2017. I don't want to give you the wrong date. June.
I was busy in July.
I can't wait till July, but June, that's okay.
June, we'll move it up a little bit. Tom Hanks will return as Woody. And he'll be reunited with Bo Peep in a standalone movie that apparently is not connected to the trilogy of Toy Story films that came before. This is a standalone film, so hopefully Woody will finally get his true love.
Whatever it is he wants.
Whatever it is Woody wants, I hope Woody gets it, because he seems like a good doll. Good
cowboy doll.
Good cowboy doll.
Mm-hmm.
Another sequel to Finding Nemo. Not another sequel, but a sequel to Finding Nemo. Finding Dory is in the works, according to Disney, as well as Frozen 2. No surprise there. And finally, a sequel to The Incredibles. We've been waiting a long time for that. Haven't we? I love The Incredibles.
Incredibles was great.
Yeah. You guys know what the Q score is? The Q score? Mm-hmm. The Q score?
Is it likability?
Q score?
Likability?
That's part of it. Oh. This is a measurement. It's a metric they use when it comes to celebrities. That measures familiarity that people have with that celebrity. So likability is part of it. Also notoriety. The appeal of their brand or their celebrity. It's mostly used by advertisers, marketing, media, to see who is well-liked and who is well-thought of and who's well-known amongst
like who's
audiences.
Worth paying a lot of money to have endorse your product, do commercials.
Something
for
like that, right. So the interesting list out of Hollywood Reporter this week of the list of celebrities whose Q score or Q rating has dropped the most in the past year. Do you think who's lost the shine on their celebrity? Yeah, he actually is.
Only Bill Cosby.
He's number one on the list. Here's the rest of the top 10 celebrities who have significantly dropped. Their Q score has dropped off the charts. NeNe Leakes from Real Housewives of Atlanta. She apparently had a very high Q score, and now that has dropped.
Hmm. Okay.
Paula Deen. The celebrity chef, Paula Deen.
Sure.
You know, you throw the N-word around a couple times, and all of a sudden, oh, now they don't want you to sell my product. Really?
That's how it works. Narrow-minded, man.
Miley Cyrus, no longer thought of as popular. Devious Maids actress Judy Reyes.
What?
I'm surprised. Washington Redskins quarterback Robert Griffin III. Minnesota Vikings. Running back, Adrian Peterson.
Sure.
Boy, you just whip your kid with a tree branch, and all of a sudden now people don't like you? Come on, America.
That's how it goes.
You know who probably whip kids with a tree branch? That Joe and Sam, that couple. They're probably whipping kids with a tree branch.
Right now.
Dr. Oz has dropped off.
What has he gotten into?
Well, remember that group of doctors got together, and they wrote those letters saying that he was a quack.
A quack, basically. Okay.
Yeah, for hawking those like BS weight loss treatments and stuff like
artist.
That. Yeah, he was a scam artist.
So he was a third most had dropped. Ariana Grande.
Well, licking donuts.
Licking donuts will cost. Here's the thing. Beating your kid with a switch, that'll put you at number 5 on the list. Licking a donut, though, America will not stand for a donut licker. And they will just write you off.
You have to draw a line in the sand,
Her Q quotient, her Q score has just dropped significantly after she licked those donuts and called America fat. And as we mentioned, Bill Cosby, number 1. So congratulations, Bill, you're number 1. By the way, even Bill Cosby's score, higher than Justin Bieber's and Kim Kardashian's.
Still?
Yes! They have the worst Q scores.
How is that possible that Bill Cosby has a higher score than anyone?
And by the way, Kim Kardashian has lots of advertising clients, too. I just saw her in a magazine doing L'Oreal or something. So
she'll sell drugs to you on Twitter. That's how much... people like to use her. But I go, look, some people, I guess they fear, we don't care whether she's disliked or not. She's got a high profile, and we're going to hitch our wagon to her horse.
Like you do.
So that the horse can pull the wagon
right
to the fair. We're going to sell our vegetables.
Okay. What's happening?
I don't know what's happening.
I'm a little goofy today. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Robert De Niro is 72 years old today. Bobby D. We call him around the hood.
Do you call him that? Where's the hood? Exactly.
Over there. Okay. Sean Penn's 55. Donnie Wahlberg. What? No. He's 46 years old today. Juliana Rancic, TV show host, and Grey. She is 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. By the way, remind me when you have time later in the show, we got to hear Kevin's interview with Sean Penn. We got to hear a little bit, revisit a little bit of the Sean Penn disaster for his birthday today.
That's a good idea.
Wednesday night at the Troubadour, a band called Mumford & Sons will be performing. It's a huge band. It's a tiny room. If you want to go, we are looking for Mumford & Sons fans. If you know their music pretty well and want to be there Wednesday night, call us right now at K-Rock, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play a game, and you can win coming up next on The Kevin and Bean. By the way, on the list of bands that we're waiting for new music from, how about Queens of the Stone Age?
Agreed.
It's about time, right?
Agreed.
Yep.
All right. Rob Corddry, later this hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. Always great to catch up with Rob. He's got so much going on right now. Sir Patrick Stewart in the 8 o'clock hour, Kathy Griffin at 9. Right now, though, we want to give you tickets to a very special K-Rock-only show at the Troubadour this Wednesday night. The band is Mumford & Sons. We are looking for you at 1-800-520-1067. Do we have time to play the whole theme song for this game, Kevin?
The long version?
Could we?
I think so.
Just a second!
So we're going to play the first second of a song by Mumford & Sons. You, the Mumford & Sons fan, should be able to tell us what song that is by title. If you're right, you go into the drawing, and one person on the line will win tickets to the show at the Troub Wednesday night. Who's up first?
Start with Chad in San Clemente. Hi, Chad.
Hello.
Are you ready to play?
Just a second!
Yes.
All right, I'm going to play the clip for you twice. It's 1 second, and you have to identify the song. Here you go. One more time. I'm sorry, that's Believe.
Thank you for playing, though, Chad. See, if you're a real Mumford & Sons fan, the first second that song comes on, you go, oh, I know that song. I like that song. That song is called. Boom. That's what you need to tell us.
Yeah, unless you're me. And then you go, oh, I know that song. I like that song. That song's called. Remember, Alexis in Mission Viejo. Hi.
Hi.
Are you ready for your just a second?
Yes, I am.
Here you go. One more time.
The Cave.
Little Lion Man is that one. That's Sorry, thank you for calling.
Now, this is or is not the hardest game in the world?
It's turning out to be.
Okay, 0 for 2.
Alec in Diamond Bar, hi.
Hello?
But this is the band playing at the Troub, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it should be hard. Right. You should have to work to get these
exactly.
tickets.
Exactly. All right, Alec, are you ready for your just a second?
Just a second!
Yeah. Here you go.
I'm ready.
One more time.
That sounds like The Cave.
Have all contestants guessed The Cave so far?
Well,
no, the first guy guessed The Wolf.
Oh, okay. That's I Will Wait. That's I Will Wait right there.
Allie, you're right. That's a good strategy. If everybody says The Cave, eventually it'll be The Cave.
Yep. All right, let's go to Patrick at Anaheim. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going?
Well, it's going well. We don't quite have any winners yet.
Patrick, how have you been doing listening on hold?
I knew that last one.
Okay, right. let's see if you know this one. We'll play it for you twice and then tell us the title.
One more time.
Roll
Lily or Stone?
That's the cave.
I would.
That one right there is the cave.
Cave would have been a good guess at this point.
Yep, just mentioned how if you keep guessing it.
All right, eventually.
Yeah. All right, now I just want to let everybody know that we've done the cave.
Yep,
that is behind us now.
Maybe don't guess it.
So don't guess it.
Not the cave, okay.
Kevin, in Cyprus, hi.
Hi.
Now, before you play this, Kevin, and I'm speaking to you, Kevin, if he says the cave,
it's going to be the greatest moment ever.
It's going to be the funniest thing ever. All right. Listener Kevin on the phone, here's your song.
One more time.
Fable?
Yes! Wow! I was so expecting the cave. You are in the drawing, sir. Congratulations. You are one step closer to Mumford & Sons at the Troubadour.
All right, let's go to Brandon in Hawthorne. Hi there.
What's going on?
Just a second! That's what's going on. You ready for your song?
Ready.
Here you go. And in the... One more time.
Ooh.
And in the...
Ooh.
You okay?
All right. You okay?
You're right, Brandon?
In the dark.
What? I didn't even hear what he said.
It wasn't Lover of the Light. I know that.
In the middle of the night.
Thank you for calling, Braden, although Kevin calls you Brandon. We appreciate it.
Didn't win, right? Does it matter?
No.
Right.
Laura in Ontario. Hi.
Hi.
All right. You ready for your song?
Yes.
Here you go. One more time. That was it. One more time.
Little Lion Man?
That's the wolf.
Oh.
That is the wolf.
Yep. All right. Let's do the drawing. We have a drawing.
Yep.
It's either going to be Kevin on line five or line five's Kevin. Only one of them will win tickets to see Mumford & Sons at the Troubadour on Wednesday night. Kevin Family Show. Miss Ellen McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Kevin.
Kevin, congratulations. Yay!
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
I got them all.
And thanks for playing.
Just a second.
106.7.
All right.
Wow. All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 21 minutes after 7.
Ladies and gentlemen, Emmy Award winner Rob Corddry in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Rob?
Great.
I feel like we're going to lose you, buddy. I feel like when you were a little Rob Corddry from...
Well.
No, he doesn't
mean
no.
No, I don't mean that at all.
Okay. He doesn't mean lose you to death.
I mean you're blowing up, Rob. I mean when you were our little friend from Children's Hospital and the Hot Tub Time Machine and little dorky projects like that, I felt like you were always going to have time for Kevin and Bean.
But now that you're
ballers, Rob Corddry, I feel like you're almost too big for us.
I'm shaking the dust off this off my boots, the dust of this place. How's that saying go?
I'm not sure.
I'm clicking the heels of the dust K-Rock off my head.
Is it on your head?
Shoot. Let me start again.
I don't think so.
Let me start again.
Let me tell you about
never
this.
Never too big for you guys.
This
never.
Ballers on HBO, by the way, which is a Sunday night show that Rob co-created in with The Rock.
Co-stars. I didn't create anything.
Bigger than Veep, bigger than Girls, bigger than Silicon Valley, bigger than Entourage, bigger than all of them, ladies and gentlemen, this
awesome.
Baller show. How about that?
Good for me.
That's good for you indeed.
That surprised Rob.
I had no idea, really? Well, that's great.
Yeah, it's something else. And it looks like, besides all the cocaine and strippers that you were involved with on the show, it just looks like a blast to shoot, too.
Yeah, yeah. It really, really, I mean, the only bummer is... we got to shoot in Miami.
Yeah.
And I don't mind Miami. It's just being, you know, away for that long, away from my family and stuff.
How long were you there?
About 3 months.
3 months.
You know, off and on, though. I try and get home a lot. But then it's just the travel gets really rough. But other than that, it is, it's one of the most fun things I've ever shot.
It doesn't seem like Miami is a place that you would want to move. I love visiting there. I would never want to move
I don't think
there.
Anybody moves there. Okay. You either live there and you stay there, or you shoot a TV show down there for a couple months and then you leave. I don't think any. Or you're from a communist country and you come over on a boat, on a
raft.
Right.
Yeah,
or a corpse. Don't they do that?
Yeah, you show up in Miami's as a corpse. Yeah.
So did you know The Rock before, Rob?
Yeah, I'd met him doing Pain and Gain.
also in Miami, which was a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah, and I never saw it, but that was apparently the good Michael Bay movie, from what I remember. wasn't that the word on it? Is that you're not going to believe this is a Michael Bay movie because it's so good?
Well, that was it was his. It was good, and it was his like indie project.
Uh-huh.
It was like, hey, you've done 20 for us. Here's one for you, and it was still, but it was his like $40 million low budget movie.
Yeah, that's how he does.
That's how he does it.
Yeah.
He still owns all his cameras, so he still had like 8 cameras going on a scene. And so it was nothing low budget about it.
It was just not different in any way.
Except my paycheck.
Ah, right. Yeah. And you're a guy who knows from low budget. All right, so you knew The Rock there, but now you're in all these scenes with him, and he is so immensely likable and so good on this show.
Right, and immense.
And I just dance,
the big dude.
A rock.
Yeah,
let you know.
Yeah,
he's very, very likable, right? And he's a really good dude. Like, and I think it's just for some of those. There's some people like that who are just such good people that you can't help but just immediately your eyes are attracted. They get your attention.
Absolutely. I mean, he's. I'm sure he was the draw for, no offense, Rob, but he was the draw for a lot of people to check out Ballers because they had, The Rock's doing TV. This must be.
I was all cordial.
Disagree. Yeah. Disagree.
He is massive, though.
He's massive.
You must feel so tiny standing next to him.
I do. Unless I, you know, had a rough night the night before and I feel bloated. Then I just feel like garbage. You're never feeling good about yourself when you're standing next to The Rock.
Yeah, that's true. What are those scenes like? Like the scene on the yacht a couple of episodes ago, the party that got out of control. And I mentioned the cocaine and I mentioned the strippers. Are those, I mean, what are those days like?
Yeah,
what are those days like on the set? Because there are just there are 50 naked girls just running around on the boat all day long. Like, that's just your job that day.
Yeah. It kind of feels real. I mean, for that, it's especially because the background, they had very little experience doing that. So they were excited. They were just excited to be there, and they were cool. And, you know, at the end of that episode, I had to drop an N-bomb.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, thinking I'm one of the dudes now.
Yes.
And
you're not one of the dudes
now. No, never. You're never one of the dudes in that way. There's no such thing as a pass as far as I'm concerned. But I said it, they forgot to tell, or maybe not on purpose, didn't tell 200 extras I was going to say that.
No.
And that is the take we used,
So that reaction is real,
Real. Pure shock and hatred. Coming from them. And then I had to do it 6 or 7 more times.
That is so fascinating, because when I was watching that scene, I thought, even if everybody involved has read the script, we are still at the point where that word has so much stigma to it now that you can't even say it in character anymore, really, and feel comfortable with it. You had to say it and you didn't want to say it.
I mean, I really softened up that R. You know, really got to. There is not a consonant at the end of that word.
I got to be honest, it sounded pretty natural coming out of your mouth.
It sounded like
a little bit like you.
It really flows.
I'm just saying, maybe it's happened before.
When I read that script, and I had to go into HBO, and we're going to do a big first table read with the cast. Ooh. I didn't even know these dudes. And I'm like, oh, this is the last page. It's like last thing that is said. And I was just in shock for a minute. I'm like, I don't know.
Did they really throw you into the water, or did you have a stand-in?
Oh, they were. I was up to the last minute. They were going to throw me in the water. And I was cool with it on paper, right? I was like, all right, it's just something I got to do. I wasn't psyched about it.
Right.
And they even had a wetsuit for me. I was going to put the wetsuit on under my clothes. But there were, you could actually hear my character say, there's jellyfish in there, because there was actual jellyfish in there.
And that's not good.
It's not good. So they wouldn't let me do it. So I got to do that thing where I was like, no, guys, come on.
I'll totally do it.
All right. No big deal. And there was like an old broken post, like right where you'd have to really dodge it or get stabbed on it. And
that's dangerous.
I wasn't looking forward to doing it.
You were so happy to get out of that.
Yeah, I don't like jellyfish.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does.
No one likes jellyfish.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
So you have a stand-in. So there's a guy, and I don't mean this in a mean way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy who looks exactly like Rob Corddry, but isn't Rob Corddry.
There is a stunt man who does looks nothing like me until this poor son of a bitch, until they shave his head into the pattern.
How about that?
Isn't that?
How about that?
It happens all the time, and I always feel terrible. Someday I just want to feel like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Welcome. But I just feel awful about it.
This is the voice of Rob Corddry. We're talking about, among other things, Ballers, which airs Sunday nights on HBO. You should catch up on this show if you have missed it, by the way, on the HBO Go. It is so, so great. Rob, we've got a lot of other stuff we want to talk about, including your latest Emmy nomination for an episode of Children's Hospital. That's
Thank
so
you.
Great, by the way. We also want to talk about you were hanging out with your little friend Jon Stewart on his final night.
Yeah.
Want to talk about that and the transition of The Daily Show and so much with Rob Corddry when we return right after this on K-Rock. Actor and sex symbol Rob Corddry in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
That's
We're
right.
Talking about Ballers on HBO.
Young Hollywood.
Yeah. Now let's talk about Children's Hospital, which is in its what season now, Rob?
We just finished shooting the seventh season.
So seven seasons of Children's Hospital. That means you've made 44 minutes of content.
Is that about right, if I did the math? I think give or take, yeah.
Congratulations. You are nominated for an Emmy for one of the episodes from this past season.
Thank you.
Which episode was it, by the way?
It was Cyrano... Just Like Cyrano de Bergerac, it's called. And it was directed by Lake Bell.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And
that's
it was Just Like Cyrano de Bergerac, basically.
And this is the one, the old story about how you can't talk to the girl you have a crush on, so somebody else has to feed you the words. And then there's a train, basically, of people all around the world involved in this. Like they're playing a giant game of telephone to get the word out. That was funny.
I love that, like, everybody does this story, right? Everybody's like, hey, they think it's the first time that anybody's ever used Cyrano.
That's going to be great.
You know, everybody does it. And then, we did that, we did it with that in mind. You know, like, we're going to sort of pay homage to how many times this has been done and kind of call it out and honor it a little bit.
How does it work for the Emmy nominations? Because I know it's for this specific episode, not the series.
Yeah,
right?
That's weird. It's
so
weird.
Do you have to put one in? You have to say, hey, this. Consider this one?
We submit, I think, three.
Three,
Warner Brothers does for us. Well, they submit about three, yeah. And usually we just got nominated, and now it's for this specific episode, and I don't know. We were there. I'm sure there's a reason, but we thought, wow, this just is one of the best episodes of television ever. They had to honor it.
They didn't have a choice.
Yeah, they couldn't not do it.
So Lake Bell directed that episode.
Yeah.
I remember we had her on to talk about it at the time. Who gets the Emmy if it wins?
Oh, me. What? Me. Come on.
That's not right.
Come on.
And that's because...
He's nominated for his work in this episode. The episode itself is not nominated.
I am nominated as a producer, executive producer, creator of the show. So there's a bunch of us as producers that are
Gotcha.
Okay.
Ken Marino is a co-producer.
Do they all win as well, or is it just you?
Oh, we all win.
All win. Yeah.
But you take it.
Well, we all get one.
But you take
it. But I take their statues.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I'll have about eight or nine statues.
Good.
How many Emmys do you have currently, Rob, that are yours?
I have 2.5.
Okay.
2.5?
Yeah. Because on The Daily Show, John gave us one.
Right.
It's just kind of like it says commemorative on the back.
Oh.
Because he felt bad for us because correspondents were never included. And so he was like, yeah, okay, just take
okay,
it.
Okay, here.
Here you go. Hey, we like you guys. It was nice. I call that my commemi.
All right.
Yeah.
How long did you work on The Daily Show?
About 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great job.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it's funny. When you're doing it, it was a job, right? And you didn't quite – and I said this to Ed Helms on the final show. We were talking backstage because Ed and I shared an office, and we were both just in the crap, right? You know, like, today's really rough. And we were just, you know, work-a-day guys. And we were like, this sucks, though, this sucks. And Ed stopped me and he said, no matter how hard this job gets every once in a while, you know, we complain. We're going to look back on this.
It's the good old days.
And have only fond memories.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And I reminded him of that on the final show. And yeah.
But Jon Stewart's a dick,
and then he
right?
cried like a baby.
Such a wuss.
Yeah.
It was we had Liz Winstead in here last week, the co-creator of The Daily Show.
Oh, yeah.
And she was talking about how weird it was for her, especially many years removed from participating in that show, to see it was like a national day of mourning that Jon Stewart was leaving the air. I mean, she just couldn't believe the stature to which that program, because of that host, had risen. Did you feel that also, that you guys were doing really important work, not just doing a dumb comedy show?
No. While I was doing it, it was very important, I think, to that we never actually spoke about it or planned it, but we all kind of thought, like, this is just comedy. We're just making the funniest jokes in the shortest amount of time. And it wasn't until the final show where I started to realize, boy, this was really important, not only to me, you know, and to all these guys, but this was an important show. And I was so proud, never more proud than at that moment.
Watching all of you come back to that episode was crazy, because
it was
like 100 people.
I was backstage, right, in a tiny hallway with 30, you know, former correspondents, and I was in the back looking at all of them, and we were waiting to go on and dance in front of Bruce Springsteen. And I was just like, what is happening right now? I still can't quite articulate the feeling.
It's a talented hallway.
That was a talented hallway.
Well, I don't think Jon Stewart can't keep people.
Yeah, why do you want to leave?
They don't pay them. Oh, anyway, we didn't get paid.
It is interesting, though. I mean, I can't think of anyone except for maybe Saturday Night Live that has a better, you know, has farmed a better team. When you look down that hall and you see Colbert and you see Ed Helms, as you mentioned, you see Steve Carell and you see Samantha Bee and you see, you know, John Oliver, the list just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
I mean, it is crazy how many talented people went through there.
They're really good. They're really good at casting. It's not an easy process. You know, there's many different levels of auditions, and you have to get up. Your final audition is with John at the desk. Ugh. And it can be very intimidating. A lot of people crack. And it's also the war was very good to us. You know what I mean?
The war was good to you.
George Bush was very good to us.
He was good to us as well.
Yeah. He really created that show. He should be he should be getting honored.
But are you a little bit sad that the timing of The Daily Show going away with Jon Stewart coincides with the rise of Donald Trump? Does that hurt you a little bit to be missing out on all this fun?
There's always going to be something, right? I mean, is. Yeah, it's pretty good. That's too bad.
But George W. in his day, let's be honest.
Yeah.
He's better than Donald Trump.
He's better
than Donald Trump.
You can't – we had the best of it.
Are you friends with Jon Stewart?
Well, I mean, I –
could you call him right now?
Yes. No.
I'm not asking you to. I'm just saying, could you?
Yes, definitely.
All right.
Wow.
But we would never – I don't think he would hang out with anybody.
He's not the hangout type of guy?
Except for his wife or children. Yeah. Yeah, but he is that kind of, like, there is a, he's so smart, but when he gives you notes, you never feel like, oh, this guy is smarter than me. Like, he's not
condescending in any way, which I like, because
very strange. I don't know how he does that, because he could easily be very condescending.
Because he is the smartest guy in the room, but he just is more collaborative than he is condescending.
Yeah. Do you remember that line from Broadcast News? I always think of John when I hear that line. Where the boss of the news station says to Holly Hunter, like, it must be great to always know you're the smartest one in the room. And she goes, no, it's terrible. That's Jon Stewart. He must feel that way all the time.
What do you think he's going to do next, Rob?
Whatever he wants to.
Is he going
to
direct more?
Probably. I think he really liked that. I think it was a real bummer for him. I spoke to him a couple months after it, you know, when I went back there. And he was making jokes about it, like, well, did you see it? No, you didn't see it. Nobody saw it. Yeah, my mom saw it. Yeah, he felt bad about it.
Look, that's not an easy form to conquer.
Jesus.
And it was
Jesus.
I mean, come on.
No way. And I think he seemed to enjoy that kind of thing. You know, and he's always been writing scripts and trying to get them made and stuff like that. So,
well, I hope he doesn't become a recluse and he's gone.
He'll go away.
I hope that. How about you, Rob? What do you want to do next now that you're a big TV star all over again with Ballers?
What do you got? Let's do it. I'll do it. What do you got? Pitch it.
Well, I don't think he has a pitch. I think he's
there
just...
I suspect.
I thought that was a pitch. I think he's pitching me.
Is he?
Because
you're
what's
a content creator also. What's the show you've always wanted to make as soon as you rise high enough in Hollywood that people have to make it? What is it going to be?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. You guys already
like
made it.
Delightful.
Now I got nothing left. It was this exact show.
Very sad.
Now I got nothing.
Do you have a script at home that you love that you've never been able to get anyone interested in that at some point you think you're going to get made?
No, I have an idea. I do have an idea that I want to do, and I don't want to say too much about it, but it's mostly about my wife.
Because I have one like that, too, about your wife.
It's weird. Boom! I just lobbed a softball right at you, man. It's kind of like, because she's the kind of person that, you know, people know me and then they come to her through me and end up liking her and not giving a crap about me because she's so magnetic. Mm-hmm. So it's just that kind of person. Like, she's just, everybody loves my wife. And that's
so we booked the wrong.
Everybody loves my
wife. I like that title. We booked the wrong Cordry today, then, is what you're telling us.
You have always been booking the wrong Cordry, basically.
Okay. All right.
Get her. Try and get her in here. That'd be great.
We'll try. Do we have an in with her?
I don't know.
We'll go through Nate.
I don't know who represents her now.
Yeah, go through Nate. All right. Well, listen, we're out of time. If there are any Emmy voters listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, please go ahead and check that little box besides the Children's Hospital episode so our friend Rob Cordry can get another Emmy, would you please? And two more episodes left in the run of Ballers on HBO, right?
I think one.
Yeah, just one.
Okay.
I'm one behind. I haven't seen last night yet. So two for me,
fast.
I guess. So, and catch up on that in HBO Go if you haven't seen it. And you have already been renewed for a second season, so that'll be coming back as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Six seasons of Children's Hospital, too. If you haven't seen that show, if you haven't seen every episode of that show, you need to go back and pick it up.
Yeah, it's not going to take a long time.
It's like 30 seconds an episode. It's great.
You can choke it all down.
It's really easy.
Rob, great to see you again, my friend.
Great to be here, guys. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:54.
So you're telling me a man who was knighted by the Queen is sitting in the office of the Kevin and Bean Show right now waiting to come in and be a guest on our program?
Yes.
That's what you're telling me. Sir Patrick Stewart is here.
And I have challenged him to a joust.
A joust?
In the parking lot.
Okay. All right.
And I have I slapped him with my gauntlet.
Okay.
All right, good.
And I'm just waiting to hear whether he responds to my challenge or not.
I see.
All because right. a real knight, I think, would take me up on that.
Well, you
right?
have to. You yeah. don't have any options.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah, you can't walk away from a duel.
Right.
Who's keeping beer mug away from him? Now that you're in here, that worries me.
That's a good point.
Beer Mug does not have access to Patrick Stewart, does he?
I believe he is in the proximity.
That's a terrible idea.
I know. We'll have to get the velvet ropes out.
Well, we're very excited to talk to Sir Patrick Stewart. Coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, Kathy Griffin at 9 o'clock this morning. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on K-Rock for Monday.
Yeah, I don't get to fluster very often in this gig. We meet a lot of celebrities through these doors over the years. And usually I'll say hello and then... You know, I go back to work. It's just, that's the job, right? Luckily, you have a cool enough job where you get used to that kind of thing. But when someone like Patrick Stewart walks through the door, it's like, this guy is one of the major acting talents of our generation.
Yeah. He really is.
And just an icon and just a talent and just couldn't be nicer. So
he's certainly slumming it today, though.
Yeah. Well, look, got to sell product. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Even if it takes going on the Kevin and Bean Show, you got to let people know about your new product.
I like to think this is a highlight for him.
Oh, Kevin. Oh, Kevin, you're adorable. You're the cutest puppy we have here in the mill.
I don't think he knows who he is.
I like to think he enjoys this. How dare you?
Do you know who he is?
Of course.
Because I don't think he...
You'll be talking about Blunt Talk. Did you get a chance to see Blunt Talk?
I did.
So funny.
Oh, man, is that a good show.
So funny.
And written by Jonathan Ames. Who did, I'm sorry, what was the name of that show with Jason Schwartzman?
Bored
to Death. Loved that show as well. And executive producer Seth MacFarlane, my buddy Seth, is involved.
Quite a pedigree.
So can't go wrong. He's coming up in just a couple minutes. But let's get some showbiz news out of the way. It is Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see over the weekend. Straight Outta Compton was the choice of most moviegoers. $56.1 million. That's pretty strong.
Not bad, right?
So many people went to the movie, in fact, that they were straight out of popcorn.
Because they ran out of all the popcorn. It was sold out.
You go right to hell.
All right, I will. As soon as I'm done here. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, $17.3 million. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. in its debut, third at the box office with $13.5 million. Then Fantastic Four and The Gift. Ant-Man, number 6 at the box office this weekend, followed by Vacation, Minions, Ricky and the Flash, and Trainwreck, your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. You know how it is, how you want all the luxuries of a 5-star hotel, but you don't want to stay on land?
What? What are you talking about?
You know what it's like when you want to live in luxury, but you don't feel like being landlocked.
Not really.
No, but
let's go with it.
You don't get that urge?
We'll go with
it. I'm always feeling
that. For the sake
of
the story?
That's why I think I'm going to put a bid in on Spielberg's yacht.
Oh.
Spielberg, Steven, apparently is selling his yacht, his 282-foot yacht, that features a massage room, a spa with steam and sauna, a gym, fully equipped, of course, the helicopter landing pad on top.
Sure.
And a movie theater. You don't want to be Steven Spielberg at sea without a movie theater.
Sure.
Now, does the helicopter come with the helipad?
No, of course not.
Well, then,
Kevin.
Come on, Kevin.
Maybe he'll throw it in. Maybe.
All right.
Maybe.
All right.
The Seven Seas is the name of the vessel. And it it can be yours for a... well, here's the thing. You can rent it.
You can rent
it? If you want to be a cheapskate, you can rent it for a $1.2 million per week.
Wow.
Over $1 million for one week?
Did I mention it's got a spa?
Yeah.
Well, come on, Kevin. Don't be cheap. It's got a sauna and a steam. Now... If you want to be cheap and rent it, that's $1.2 million. But you want it outright, don't you?
Well, I would
think. You want to have it at all times, just at your disposal?
I'm not going to slum for a week.
What do you think? What do you think? What are you guessing?
$25 million.
Give me your bids.
42.
Hold on a second. If it rents for 1.2 a week, you think you can buy it for what it would cost you to rent it for 25 weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with that.
This is why you are not going on The Price is Right. You are not going to win the showcase.
$1.
You are underbidding the rest of the contestants.
I'm happy with $25 million. That's my guess.
Hopes. You're going to stick
with that? That's my final answer.
Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else?
44.
All right.
I'll just say an even 100.
$184 million is the price tag on Steven's yacht. So the Seven Seas could be all yours for a mere $184 million if you got that lying around. Why is Steve selling the boat?
Why is Mr. Spielberg selling the boat, Ralph?
I'm glad you asked, Bean. It's because he's outgrown the yacht. He is getting a larger one built.
It's a bigger one.
He's getting a larger one built specifically for him for the low, low price of $250 million.
Oh, my gosh. You know, for...
$250 million will purchase a custom... built a yacht for.
You could almost buy a house for that much.
Almost.
And he's betting it on a boat.
Right.
Wow.
Man.
That is. That's
right?
Money right there.
That
is
you
some
think?
Serious coin right
you think
there.
That's money?
That's
that
money
is
right
money.
There.
Yeah. And in music news, sadly, Radiohead frontman Tom York has split up with his girlfriend Rachel Owens after 23 years. Couple's been together for 23 years. They have two children together, Noah, who is 14, Agnes, who is 11. They met when they were just students at the University of Exeter in the UK. So it's a long relationship, but apparently it's all over. Rumor has it the couple could not see eye to eye. What? I'm just saying they had differences. I'm just...
Well played.
Patrick Stewart has left the building. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Robert De Niro is 72 years old today. Actor Sean Penn turns 55. Donnie Wahlberg of the acting Wahlberg family is 46. And TV talk show host and E! Correspondent Juliana Rancic is 41. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, so great. Now I've got to try to introduce our guest and not embarrass us and not screw up. All right, I'll try. maybe you know him from the Royal Shakespeare of the Royal National Theater, or perhaps you're more like us and you know him best as Professor Charles Xavier in the X-Men movies or Captain Jean-Luc Picard on Star Trek The Next Generation. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Sir Patrick Stewart in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show. Hello, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Bean. That's very kind of you.
We can't believe you're here, and I wonder if you run into that a lot, where people are just, they just have trouble getting words out around you because they're such big fans, they can't believe they're meeting you in person.
Yeah, that does happen. I wonder sometimes if it's, you know, the fact that I've done so much science fiction and fantasy that I, you know, I am associated with actually not being of this world.
You think people are actually afraid of you?
Well, I hope so, because fear is good. You know,
fear
you want to
respect, right?
Well, but let's get the fear there first.
Okay, good.
The respect will follow after that. And no, I, you know, I have to say to people sometimes that the bridge never left stage 8 at Paramount Pictures. You know, it's somewhere there in the basement of the studios, and we didn't fly. We didn't actually go to planet.
But I think also part of it is I think Americans still hold the Brits in great regard. Even though we've broken away from the empire, there is still a mystique about the Brits that I think carries a little weight in the States.
You wish you were us.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
And you regret what happened back in 17.
We apologize. Can we come back now?
No, it was all right. I mean, you just lost out. That was the thing. I mean, things would be so much easier. You're now a new country, which you could have been part of an old country.
I know.
And that would have been so much better.
What were we thinking?
Well, but, you know... You weren't you. You were kind of weirder, older people.
And, so. and we've already screwed up this country, so we might as well just go back to England.
So, Patrick, so you just turned 75 years old, which we were just marveling at as we saw you walk in, because you're the most fit person in this room right now. And you apparently still love acting. Why? How has it captured your imagination your entire life?
I was not an academic child. My schooling was pretty pathetic. I was always... more grown up than I should have been. I never had any wild teenage years until now.
Until now, right.
You know,
better late than never.
So getting into all that. And all I ever wanted, from the age of about 10 or 11, all I wanted to do was to be in plays and act. Nothing else.
Was there one thing at school that you were in that sold you, like, this makes me know that that's what I want to do?
There was, and it was sold to me by an English teacher. Without whom none of this would have happened. And the lovely thing is that only a few weeks ago I picked up the phone and I called his home in England and wished him a happy 90th birthday.
Oh. Oh.
This man is still alive.
And he said, "Who the hell are you?"
Well, what he said was, "Patrick, I've been meaning to talk to you for a long time. You're doing too much. You need to take some time." I mean, it was like I was back in the classroom again, you know. Except the funny thing is after I'd been to the palace to get this knighthood, there was a luncheon party, and he was there. I invited him.
Oh, nice.
He said, everybody was asked to make a comment, and he said, well, it's very difficult for me, because for the first 5-6 years that I knew Patrick, he called me sir, and now the situation is reversed. Yeah, it's all a little awkward.
And you grew up in Yorkshire, right?
I grew up in the West Riding of Yorkshire, which is the western edge of the county, where it abuts Lancashire, where my good friend Sir Ian McKellen hails from.
That's the most beautiful friendship in the world, the two of you.
Thank you. It's
so charming. Your social media presence of the two of you guys just doing the goofiest things together.
Well,
and of course, you've performed together a lot on stage. I mean, you seem like just sincerely best friends.
We are, but it happened very slowly and over a long period of time. And in fact, we have X-Men to thank for that, because, you know, with movies like that, you do spend much, much more time in your trailer than you do on the set working, right. You know, minutes working and hours sitting waiting to work. Well, we had adjoining trailers, and of course, the trailers were quite sumptuous. And so we would hang out hour after hour, and that's how we got to know one another. Wow. Did you know this guy? You ever worked with him? How was it when you were in this movie or that play? That kind of conversation. And gradually, we found that we had a great deal in common, our love of Shakespeare, our love of the theatre. We are both Northerners, although from different sides of the Pennines. And it took off, finally, when we did this production of Waiting for Godot.
Surely you crossed paths before, though, right? Throughout your career?
Hardly, no.
Really?
Ian was a star from the very beginning. He was a star when he was still at university. He was spotted by critics doing leading roles when he was at Cambridge. I, on the other hand, was unknown for years and years and years. So we're about the same age. We began our professional careers at the same time. But I saw him from the auditorium, and I admired his work so much. And I would sit there, not only that, but he was so gorgeous.
Yeah.
He was beautiful. And I had lost my hair at 19. And I was depressed, thinking that my romantic life was over before it had had a chance to begin. That's why I'm enjoying it all now.
We were lucky enough to have Saria McKellen in this studio years ago, and now I feel like we've completed the set by getting you in here now as well. So,
well, that's right. Nice. You see, you wouldn't have had me in here years ago because nobody knew who the heck I was. But him, it was different.
You mentioned the knighting. If you don't mind me asking, because I'm so fascinated about this, when the queen comes out and knights you, do they still do like what we see in the movies where they put a sword on your shoulder and say some things?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. That's still a thing.
How it happens. I asked the same question the morning that it was about to occur because I thought, you know, that's what they do in movies or in silly comedy shows. No, we actually had a rehearsal. That morning there were 100 people receiving awards of different kinds, but only 2 knighthoods. So the 2 of us were taken into a room and we were rehearsed with someone standing in for the queen. Obviously, she doesn't do rehearsals.
Right, sure.
Which is reasonable. I think so. Yeah. If you're Elizabeth, Queen of England, why should you rehearse? There is a padded stool that you kneel on. But the great thing is that on one side of it, it has like part of a banister or a railing so that you can lower yourself. You can hold onto it and lower yourself onto the cushion. Because some people, you know, not quite in the
some knights aren't that spry.
You go.
Yes. A little older, maybe.
Yeah. However,
now, did you get the sense that Her Majesty had any idea who she was bestowing on, or is it just President Obama goes into rooms every day to hand out a ribbon to some kid, and he doesn't know or care why they're there. I'm just wondering, did the Queen talk to you about you? Like, did she have questions or comments, or is it just she reads a script and then you're done?
Did she say we don't enjoy the Borg? Did she say that at all?
Well, you know, I have had a secret suspicion. It's partly because of a look in his eye that although the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh probably didn't watch Star Trek The Next Generation, I am pretty certain that Prince Charles, the Prince of Wales, did.
Okay.
And he has that look of, oh, I so much want to say, oh, I love that episode. You know. But he never has. Actually, I'm sure the President is briefed. I'm not sure that you would brief Her Majesty over 100 people.
Only 2 got the knighthood.
Only 2 got the knighthood, and we were up first. We were the first. They kind of do it in descending order. And she spoke with every single person.
Wow.
Each one of those 100, she was on her feet. I think she was 86 at the time. She was on her feet all that time and had a few words with each recipient. With me, she said, which kind of, I guess, answers the question, she said, and how long have you been doing this? and the temptation to say, Your Majesty, do you mean standing here talking to you? Because I've only just arrived. But here's a funny thing that happened that morning. When I got, you know, we did the thing, I knelt, I got... Suddenly, she had this sword in her hand, and I have no idea where it came from. There was an equerry standing nearby. He must have given it to her. But it happened so fast. Suddenly, I'm kneeling, and I'm looking along the length of this blade.
Wow.
And yes, one shoulder, and then she flips the blade over, and with the other side of the blade touches you on the other shoulder.
Uh-huh.
What she doesn't say is, "Arise, Sir Knight." I think that's only from American movies. That they
or Excalibur. Remember that from Excalibur?
Did I say that?
Somebody did, I think.
Well, isn't she too old to give the cutlery and ask her to just handle it around people's heads, though? I'm concerned about that.
You mean health and safety?
Well, I
didn't think of that as all I was concerned about was not falling over.
Yeah.
That's all you don't want to do. So then I stood, and there is a lovely, beautiful ribbon with a medal at the end, which also goes around your neck. Then she asked me this question, and I did say... well, for more than 50 years, Your Majesty. And then our conversation was pretty much over. But you have to walk backwards away from her. This is a little bit of ritual
that's
a touch archaic. Certainly when you leave a room, I believe you walk backwards all the time until you get to the door, then you can turn around.
That's where I would have been afraid I was going to fall.
Well, it involved going backwards down some steps, too.
Oh my God.
Very, very tricky.
Sounds treacherous.
That's why you rehearse.
Okay.
But then what happened? I went to my seat with my then girlfriend, now my wife, and my brother and his wife, who had come down to the palace. And she had a few words with each person, but there were only a few words. Then a woman got an award for her services to equestrianism.
Okay.
Well, the queen talked her head off.
She likes horses.
She loves horses. And they talked and talked. And it was so animated that actually the audience began to giggle.
Were they looking at her and then looking at you and then looking at her and looking at you?
Well, no. Everybody got it. That at last here was somebody she could talk to.
She was interested in
it. I love that. She couldn't get past you fast enough to get the horse lady.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. On the Kevin and Bean Show, I often say the voice you're listening to is, I don't even have to say it because you can tell we're talking to Sir Patrick Stewart here on the Kevin and Bean Show. A very quick break, and then we're going to come back and tell you about an outstanding new show debuting August 22nd on Starz. Patrick is the star of it. It is called Blunt Talk. You will love it, and we'll tell you why right after this on K-Rock. Sir Patrick Stewart, our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show this Saturday night on Starz. A new show is debuting called Blunt Talk. You can actually watch the first two episodes on Starz.com. That's Starz with a Z.com. We were so happy to see that you were coming back to television, Sir Patrick, and I assume that the answer is the script was just too good to pass up.
Well, initially it was one person. It was Seth MacFarlane. I've been working with Seth for, at that time, 8 or 9 years, playing Avery Bullock on American Dad and occasional appearances on Family Guy and Ted 1 and 2 and A Million Ways to Die in the West and so forth. And so he's been a friend and a colleague, and I am a huge fan of Mr. MacFarlane. And so when he took me out to lunch and said, listen, how would you feel about doing a half-hour live-action comedy show? I said yes, and that was the end of the discussion.
You didn't ask what it was?
No. I said, you're going to be involved? He said, yeah, and that was it. That's all I need to know. But then they brought on board the brilliant Jonathan Ames. Now, Jonathan is executive producer, showrunner, and writer. He wrote maybe 4 of the episodes, but works with a writing team. I'm starting to talk quicker. It's you guys, you see. Talk so fast that I'm starting to do it now. I'm getting quicker and quicker and quicker. I'm going to slow down. And by the way, one little point. You can just call me Patrick Bean.
I'm not comfortable with that.
You have to be comfortable with it because
Mr. Stewart is as good as I can do.
It's fine to use it once, but then, you know, I'm Patrick.
All right. So, Jonathan Ames created Bored to Death. We talked about that earlier today, which is a wonderful show that we liked so much. And now he has such a quirky sense of humor. And for folks who don't know anything about it, it's set in the world of cable news. And you are playing a Bill O'Reilly type, a Piers Morgan type. Well, you tell us. You tell us about your man now, Walter Blunt.
Yeah, he is a newsman with a history in journalism and, by the way, in the British Army as well, which is something which comes up from time to time in the series. He has a nightly cable news show called Blunt Talk. And he's an investigative journalist. He's a little bit in love with controversy, but primarily, his motivation for being in the media is to make the world a better place. He really believes it can be done. He couldn't achieve that as a soldier. In fact, quite the opposite. And most specifically, he loves America, but thinks there is room for improvement. Now, that couldn't possibly be true, of course.
Heresy.
We all know that. But he can. And maybe that's in some way that he overlaps with Pierce a little bit. Because, you know, Pierce had this thing about, you know, you should do this and death penalty and that. All of which I agree with, and so does Walter. So that's his job. And we do see him at his job, sitting behind his desk, interviewing people. But it's his private life which has taken up a lot of the time of the first season because it is somewhat chaotic.
Yes. You think? It's not a slow start for his private life.
No, it's not. Episode 1. I mean, what would you say? 4 minutes into the first episode, there is a certain activity going on.
Someone's being tasered, yes.
Which is
you're hitting the sauce pretty good minute one. I know that much at the bar right away.
Hitting the sauce.
Yeah.
Now, there's a phrase I've never heard before. Well, it's a euphemism, of course. I mean, let me repeat what I have said several times before. I have done things on camera this year that I would not do alone in a locked, darkened room. and again and again, I would say on when we were about to shoot a scene to the crew, ladies and gentlemen, never done this before. This is a first.
Even at this stage in your career and all the things that you've done, do you find there are moments, especially in this show, where a commitment is so important to an actor that you find yourself really having to push yourself through those barriers to be able to let go and do those things? Because, as you mentioned, some of the things are sort of embarrassing and out of character.
I mean, I had never played a post-coital love scene before. That was the first. Now, you expect all actors to have done at least one of those.
Sure.
No, I reached 74. That was the first time. I mean, not in life, you understand.
No, of course.
Right. No.
Your career.
The thing is, from the first time, the first moments, I wanted to be an actor, and I had a stage experience. The great attraction was that I was not being myself. I could hide, I could lose myself in another character, living in another world, because my childhood was a bit sort of chaotic itself. And I felt secure on stage. I never had stage fright. I never felt embarrassed standing in front of all
those
people.
That's where you felt the most secure.
Yeah. Not just secure, safe.
Mm.
Nothing bad could happen to me while I was on stage.
Until you got this show.
Oh, well, you know, I am holding you guys at arm's length at the moment. Not you, Ali.
Thank you.
As close as you like.
Well, there is a fearlessness to this performance, as Walter Blunt, that I just find so engaging and refreshing and enjoyable.
That's lovely. Thank you. Fearlessness.
You go full bore for it, and it enhances the comedy and the sense of camaraderie that everyone in the cast has. But I was just, as I watched the first two episodes, I said, wow, Patrick is just really fearless in this role. It's just joyful to watch.
You know, it's easier to do that when you're surrounded by great performers who are also lovely people, because it means you've got a net. You know, nothing really bad can happen to you. This is why I've been a company man all my life. A company man in the best sense of that phrase, because it has a pejorative aspect to it as well. To be surrounded by people you like working with, you admire, and you often love. I love all my fellow cast members.
I can't even imagine what that must feel like.
Yeah, we don't experience that on this show.
Can't even imagine. Boy, that sounds like a dream.
I do understand. You guys just need a little bit of help. That's all.
Very damaged.
Let's listen to a clip. Again, we're talking to Sir Patrick Stewart about Blunt Talk. The show debuts this Saturday night on Starz. And as I mentioned, you can see the first two episodes at their website, and you should. This is the scene. We talked about the rough beginning that when we meet Walter Blunt. He's a little bit drunk. He's making the mistake of trying to drive home that way. But then he ends up picking up a hooker, like you do, I mean, sure. On your way home, right?
She
on a
is
Saturday
a goddess
night.
And a she's model.
She's a goddess and a model.
Don't talk about Gisella in those terms, please.
And I think that's the scene we're going to pick it up with you doing a little negotiating in the car.
Great. I'm a transsexual. Do you know what that means?
Oh, yes. I was at the U.S. Open in 77 when Renee Richards made her debut, but I would never have guessed that of you, which I hope you don't mind me saying.
No, it's okay.
And does that mean that you have an intact?
Why don't we just say I have a 9-inch? Does that bother you?
No. I'm English.
Blunt Talk on Starz. Before we say goodbye.
Let's not say goodbye. Can you stick around?
He's got to be out the door by 40.
No, I'm fine. I can't stick around.
He's going to stay.
I make the decision. And by the way, I just want to say, in that recording, the role of Giselle was played by Trace Lizette, who is brilliant in the show and comes back.
Oh, good. Excellent. I love that character.
All right, he's going to stick around. We'll be right back.
Our friend comedian Kathy Griffin joins us at 9 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But in the meantime, how about Sir Patrick Stewart talking about Blunt Talk, premiering this Saturday night on Starz? By the way, I got a question via the Kevin and Bean Twitter account who says, I've been seeing a lot of the promos for Blunt Talk. It looks like a very physical comedy. Are there stunts, and do you get to do your own, Patrick?
There are modest stunts. You've probably seen me standing on the roof of the Jaguar.
Uh-huh.
I had to climb up onto that, which I did without any assistance. I hastened
to have to bring a crane in or anything.
But you also performed Hamlet at the same time, right?
A couple of lines. It was no hardship. But I get to dance in this. Quite a lot of dancing. In fact, that was the first work that I did on this show, was learning the choreography. And there is an almost silent scene. It's physical comedy in an airport bathroom.
Yes.
Which I don't want to talk about because we kind of spoil it. But I've never thought I was any good at physical comedy. I can't do pratfalls and stunts and that kind of thing. But the thing about it is, I've been discovering that the more serious you are about what's going on, the potential is there for it to get funnier.
Sure.
And you get more serious and more desperate, and it gets funnier and funnier. And I'm enjoying that aspect. In fact,
it's so interesting to hear you talk as if you're still learning things about acting after a more than 50-year career.
That's exactly how it is, Bean. I'm surrounded by people who are funny and have careers in comedy, and so I ask them, how would you do this? How would you do that? I'm not quite sure how this works. What would the... 'cause largely, the skill is about timing, and so I take advice from them. You know, go to the best if you have to learn something. And I don't think in my job you actually ever stop learning. I think when you do, then you may as well give it up because nothing interesting is likely to happen.
Speaking of physicality, as I watched you in Blunt Talk, wrapped in a towel, being whipped by your manservant with a wet towel.
Like you do.
Yeah. It struck me at the age of 75, the remarkable physical condition that you were in.
Thank you.
And I was wondering, are you a fitness buff? Do you work out constantly? Because it's impressive.
2 hours this morning before I came here.
Really?
Every day?
No? No. See, I would rather hear you say yes than no, because that just means that's just the way you are.
Yeah,
and that's unfair, and now I don't like you anymore.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry. I take all that back. Yeah, I work out solidly.
All right,
every day.
Good. That's what I want to hear.
No, I have what I like to call peasant genes, I think. You know, sturdy, working man gene. My father was always in great shape, and my mother had beautiful skin, and I think it's thanks to them that things turned out sort of okay.
I guess sort of okay. Yeah. As sad as you were to lose your hair at 19, has it been for you since then to be Patrick Stewart and look so good with a bald head?
Well, luckily, in time, of course, it became fashionable, and guys with perfectly good heads of hair were shaving it all off. And back in the old days when I was working in regional theater, where there was never much money going around, I spent a lot of money, more than I could afford, on having a beautiful hairpiece made, really beautiful. And so I would go to auditions wearing it, and then halfway through the audition, I would take it off. And so I would sell myself to these regional theater directors as two actors for the price of one.
Genius.
And because there was never very much money. And in rep, it means that you do a different play every 2 weeks, 3 weeks. At the beginning of my career, I did weekly rep when you put on a new play every Monday night, and that was wild.
Amazing. Speaking of being on the stage, I have to ask, and I know we're almost out of time here, no matter how busy you are with movies and television, and no matter how much money you can make doing those, you always go back to the stage, and you usually go back to Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah, because that was my first love, and it was all I wanted to do. Film and television was an accident.
Pretty good
up over them. Yeah, well,
pretty good accident.
I am not complaining. Believe me, Kevin. I really appreciate everything that happened. But I was never looking for it. It came to me. I mean, I got Star Trek. This is now a well-known story, but I got Star Trek because I was illustrating a lecture at Royce Hall on the UCLA campus for a friend of mine, a professor of English, who was giving a public lecture and wanted me to illustrate it by reading Shakespeare, and signed up for the course of lectures was a man called Robert Justman, who was one of the executive producers of Star Trek, and he turned to his wife and said, "We found the captain." Well, you can't legislate for things like that happening,
yeah,
can you?
That's true. Amazing. All right, Mr. Stewart has to walk out the door, you guys.
Yep.
No.
Any final thoughts? Any final words before we lose him?
I've enjoyed this so much. I told you when we were off air, live radio is the one thing I love more than anything else. So please ask me back, will you?
Anytime,
how's
sir.
How's tomorrow?
And how's tomorrow work for you?
Perfect. Same time, same place.
Blunt Talk, this Saturday night on Starz. It is so funny, you guys. Trust us on this. You will love it. How about a big round of applause for our guest, Mr. Patrick Stewart?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
I didn't say this at the time, but another thing is his voice just makes me feel like none of us should be on the radio because he exists, right?
I wish we had more time to talk. about everything.
Yeah.
But that specifically because, as we mentioned, you know, he's from the North, and he had a very Yorkshire accent initially in his life, and he has just trained his voice over the years, and now he is that.
He's that. Now we're talking about Patrick Stewart, who was with us for most of this past hour. And if you missed it, please get the podcast later and listen to it because it was great. He was as charming and as lovely and as friendly and as funny and as nice as we could have ever hoped him to be.
Yeah.
And we went to take a picture. How did Kathy Griffin?
She ran through here.
She barged in like a drunken sailor.
It was awesome.
She was taking a picture with him before anyone knew what was going on.
She just starts sucking so onto him. And
she is a ninja.
It was strange. We'll have to deal with her in the next segment.
Okay.
Straighten her out.
Kathy is coming in just after 9. Ralph is here now with another look at the show, Morning, Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
She's very spunky today, by the way, that Kathy Griffin. Huh. Yeah, so be warned.
Be nice if we can get her to show some personality for a change.
Yeah,
get her out of her shell a little bit.
Get her to open up.
Right.
It's Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office so we can see what people went to see at the movie theaters. Straight Outta Compton was the number one choice this weekend, $56.1 million in its debut weekend.
And great, right, Kevin?
It was two and a half hours.
Seen it, yet.
It was two and a half hours.
Right. Long.
Which you think long, and it didn't seem long enough. There was so much story that they had to leave out.
It's crazy that it could make $56 million at that length, too, because you usually get less showings in with a film of that.
It was great.
Line. Well, there you go. Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation was number two at the box office. Man from U.N.C.L.E. also debuted this weekend, made $13.5 million. That was good enough to make it number three. Fantastic Four at number four. The Gift was the fifth movie at the box office this weekend. Then Ant-Man, Vacation, Minions, Ricky and the Flash, and Trainwreck rounding out the rest of the top ten. The Voice is also a very popular show in the U.K., not just here in the States. Tom Jones, the legendary singer, was one of the original coaches on the show, and he got fired this week.
Wow. What?
He spent four seasons in the one of those big chairs, and they let him go. And Tom posted on his Facebook on Friday, "I've supported the show and BBC since the beginning. I was told yesterday, with no consultation or conversation of any kind, that I would not be returning. Having been through plenty of transformations through the years, I support and admire creative change, but being informed as a matter of duty and respect is an important part of creative relationships. This substandard behavior from executives is very disappointing."
Wow.
So he got dumped, and they're bringing in Boy George to replace him as one of the judges. That is, it's not unusual for a network to dismiss a performer unceremoniously, but to do it to a star of Tom Jones's caliber, it's like, what's new, pussycat? You know, you got to wonder what's going on.
Hello.
You guys there?
We already have "Would You Like to Take That Back" scheduled for tomorrow.
I just want to make sure you've got enough material. That's all.
We
do. Boy George will be great, though. He's like a chameleon. He can fit into any situation. Oh, too much now?
I just don't
know.
Can you just throw one word from a title or a song into that and make it count? Or do you have to use
it? You said pussycat. Like, well, it's good. Let's again. We get it. It's a song.
Exactly.
Come
that's
on,
what
come
I'm
on,
just
come on, come on, come on. Asshole.
I agree with that lady.
That lady does not like you.
For both of you.
We're talking about The Stage with Sir Patrick. The Stage, of course, is now the hot place to be for Hollywood stars. New York Daily News had a story this weekend about the new Broadway season, and it is loaded with movie stars. Everybody is going on stage on Broadway. Keira Knightley. Ooh. She is working out her stage chops in a show called Therese Raquin, which opens up at the Studio 54 Theater in October. Al Pacino returning to the stage in the new David Mamet play China Doll. Jennifer Hudson is going to be on Broadway with The Color Purple. And Bruce Willis is going to be starring in the stage version of the movie Misery, based on the Stephen King book. He's going to be punishing those people that he works with. So, a lot of stars going on the Great White Way. So it's just a matter of time until you can go to New York and see your favorite movie stars.
When's Kevin James going to be in a...
Oh, that's what Kevin's waiting for. Kevin James's Hamlet. To be or not to be. He just runs into a big pane of glass. Kevin would love that.
I would love that.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Robert De Niro is 72 years old today. Sean Penn. Here's an actor for you. You know what? Remember when we had Sean Penn on the
radio? I don't remember it at all.
I believe he had directed a movie called Into the Wild.
I don't think we ever had him on.
And we were talking to him about that film.
We didn't have him on.
And I think Kevin wanted to know I think Bean had asked if he ever was tempted to play the lead role himself because the role was so so meaty. Trying to remember what that conversation was like. It was like it happened.
Is this a role that you would have wanted to play, Sean, had you been young enough for the role?
I was a good deal older than the guy when I first read it, so it never came to mind that way. I never could have or did consider that.
You could have gone comedy with it and Ben Spicoli. Just changed the whole thing around.
not at all, Kevin.
No.
But I did. It did lead me into my next question, which is a guy.
So that's what he said to Sean Penn, is you could have played the Into the Wild role that Emil Hirsch played, but done it as Spicoli.
Here's the bad part.
Could have gone Spicoli with it and turned it all around.
All right, there's two bad parts.
Doing the hokey-pokey.
What is it? It was poorly
delivered.
Put
the left leg in, put the left leg out. Right, Sean Penn? You want a granola bar?
One is it was poorly delivered, but the other is that I knew it would not go over well, but I couldn't help myself. I couldn't.
That was the thing that you had to say? That was the urge that was too strong to resist?
Yeah.
That high-quality comedy?
But, Kevin, we already had a guy who we knew hates interviews, who's a very serious person, who's not on to yuck it up. He's not on for the chuckleheads, okay? He's on to promote his movie. So you knew it was going to fall flat. Why did you say it?
Kevin,
and you'll notice
he
had no reaction whatsoever. He just wanted the interview to be over, as we all did.
He just clenched his jaw. And he was just debating, do I just hang up or do I punch him? That was the only two things going through his head.
I don't know, man. I'm just telling you.
But you couldn't.
I couldn't help
not
myself.
Say it.
I could not help myself. I wanted to help myself. I knew it would be bad.
You're saying you're a wild card, and you need to be dealt with.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You're an outlaw. You play by your own rules.
That's what I'm saying. Sure.
Donnie Wahlberg turns 46 years old today, and TV talk show host Juliana Rancic, she's 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:06.
I'm sorry. Ralph just asked me, Kathy Griffin, 2 Emmys, Grammy, Guinness Book of World. Have I ever done The Celebrity Apprentice?
Yes.
No.
It's not out of the question.
No, I have a job.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't want to be Donald Trump's apprentice
What was I thinking? You were the mole. I'm sorry. My bad. You're the freaking celebrity mole, but apprentice is barely off the
table.
All
right, you got me, but I won the mole, and that has to mean something.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
Yeah, you're fired.
Whatever, Don.
That is the voice of Kathy Griffin. This is the first time she's been in studio today where she's been invited. Now, let's address what happened earlier. There must be some sort of guest protocol where you're over there and that guest stays over there, right?
Yeah. No, there is a, unlike the wall that Donald Trump wants to build, there is no wall between a celebrity and myself for a Twitter moment or an Instagram.
There normally is.
And look,
in real life.
Yes, but I probably know up to, I mean, counting you guys, up to like 7 straight guys. And they're going to be very excited by a picture of me and Patrick Star Wars.
Right, Star Wars, that's him.
Walking Dead, I don't know. But the point is, people will be excited that I met a zombie or Jar Jar Binks or I don't know.
Captain of the Enterprise, Kathy.
Does the Enterprise go to the Mark Taper Forum, where I'll be playing November 4th and 5th in downtown Los Angeles in the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion.
Did you pull a muscle reaching
First
for that?
First of all, Patrick Stewart does know the Mark Taper Forum. Let me tell you that. He is a serious theater actor.
He's probably performed there many times.
That's right.
Yes.
Have you already posted that photo of you and Sir Patrick Stewart?
I've actually sent it to 2 of my nerds, and I know their heads are exploding. And I've sent it to J.J. Abrams, and I wrote, here's a picture of the guy who I think is in your next Lifetime movie.
I'm sure he appreciates
that. He will. Excellent. He will know that I'm very up on these things.
Yes. So, Kathy, let me ask you, let's get the business out of the way, and then we'll find out what you've been up to. The Mark Taper Forum, is it that the Gibson is gone, and that's where you used to play? So
yes.
You needed a new venue for
it's
your size
play,
crowd, right?
I've played the Kodak, and then it became the Dolby. And I played the Dolby, and I played the Universal Amphitheater, and then it became the Gibson. I played the Wiltern. And so now I've always wanted to play the iconic Mark Taper Forum in the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion across from the Disney Concert Hall. There's a metro stop that goes there. You can Uber. And I'm shocked at how many people don't know the iconic Mark Taper Forum. It's only 700 seats. It's intimate, like you're in my living room. And I just want everyone to be able to find it.
Well, for our audience, let's tell them it's near the courthouse. Downtown.
Oh,
That'll help.
Okay, so if you have a warrant,
yes.
It's near where you went to settle your warrant.
When you had to appear
that's near where you had to go to.
So go to Ticketmaster or KathyGriffin.com, and you'll be going as if you are free. Like, you're a free person. You don't have to go to jail or anything. You just have to hear some vulgarity and inappropriate comedy.
But you turn off your cell phones and your ankle bracelets when you go in.
Oh, well, the ankle bracelet. I'm not a stickler. I mean, if Lindsay Lohan wants to come or any of that crowd, they're more than welcome.
By the way, you mentioned the Grammys and the Emmys because you always do.
I'm half an EGOT.
That's my question.
I'm half an EGOT.
What are you doing toward the EGOT?
Okay,
are you figuring out,
can
you win a Tony for one of your comedy shows?
Well, I've actually done a run on Broadway, and it's called A Limited Run, and I actually named it Kathy Griffin Wants a Tony. And I still didn't win a Tony.
Oh,
and I mean, I even told them what to do. I was like, just give it to me. I'm telling you.
Okay.
So
that didn't work?
No. And I've been what's called messaging. So I've been talking to many filmmakers saying, you know what it's time for? And I think, Ralph, you'll agree. It's time for my precious.
That's right.
You need to be
Mariah Carey and go in there and ugly it up. Or Monique. Ugly it up.
Monique got the statue.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's true.
That's right.
Are you ready to do that, or are you too vain to take the makeup off?
I'm fairly vain, but I'll do it to get my precious.
Okay.
It's time, you know, all comedians, they have that one, you know, Louis C.K. in American Hustle, Andrew Dice Clay in Blue Jasmine. Yeah, it's time for me to get my EGOT.
Can you imagine? Ralph, how difficult Kathy would be to deal with if she won an Academy Award?
The word's insufferable.
It would be a lot easier. It would be a lot easier because she wouldn't show up. She wouldn't
come. We wouldn't have to worry about dealing with her.
But if I heard there was a celebrity here and I could barge in on the photo, I might make the trip.
If she won an Oscar, she'd be barging into Patrick Stewart's house to get a photo
with
him. She wouldn't wait until he was at a record.
Let's talk about that just for another second. So you're taking a picture with Patrick Stewart.
Yes.
Are you at all worried that he doesn't know who you are and how you just appeared in the room?
Never bothered me.
Didn't bother you at all.
Never has. To be fair, he then said, "Let me get a picture with Kathy."
He did.
I thought was delightful.
Because then he was going to ask his assistant to Google her.
Yeah. He's going to put it into Google.
That was a just-in-case moment.
It was a just-in-case.
He might be famous.
Lucky, and maybe he'll, you know, a couple. He said, I love when he goes, I have a website, too. Which I thought was very modern, and I agree. So good for him.
Yeah.
And so I'm very happy about that picture.
All right, Kathy, Like a Boss is the tour, November 4th and 5th at the Center Theater Group at the Mark Taper Forum. Tickets on sale right now.
Yes.
By the way, only $59 to see the great Kathy Griffin. It's a pretty good deal.
Ridiculous. Small venue. And by the way, I'm doing 80 cities in this Like a Boss tour.
Wow.
And I named it because, as you know, I've been doing stand-up so much. And I want people to know it's all new material. It's going to be different. This weekend alone, I'm doing Portland, Maine. I'm doing Newport, Rhode Island, Hampton Beach. I'm doing 7 shows in 5 days.
That
P-Town.
Seems like bad planning.
What?
7 shows in 5 days?
Yes, I have 2 doubles.
Like a boss.
Like a boss.
Like a boss. Right. That's right. 80 cities. Imagine even visiting 80 cities, much less bringing the freaking house down, city after city. I stand there alone with my own material that I write myself, and at the end, they stand.
So,
and if not, I go, stand up.
You should be standing now.
Yeah, and sometimes they're half out the door, and I go, wait, come back and stand.
They're standing, but they're walking. But still, they're standing.
Yeah. Sure.
Now, Ralph mentioned Donald Trump. How much Trump in the act right now?
It's heaven. I mean,
it's the best, right?
It's because it's daily. So it was, you know, silly enough, and you can pull one quote. And then, honestly, 45 minutes later, he's doing those escalator interviews with Hannity or whomever. It doesn't even matter. And I don't know if you saw my beloved Anderson Cooper, but I think Anderson has like a little crush on him. He
really?
Was kind of getting giggly. He couldn't believe that Trump spoke to him that way. So he had his Rachel Maddow glasses on, and he kind of kept sort of trying to correct Trump. And
I think
Trump
nobody...
would be like, you're stupid. You're gay, but you're stupid. And I mean, Anderson would go, wait a minute. And then when he was describing it, he was kind of giggly, like, well, I admit, he does speak to a part of people that want to be on the edge of their seats, and you never know what he's going to say. And I mean, he is appealing in some way. And I'm like, okay.
He's got a crush.
Bad boy crush on
thank
him.
Thank you. Yeah. Exactly.
Donald Trump this weekend at the Iowa State Fair was giving kids rides in his helicopter.
Yes.
And at one point told a kid that he was Batman. That happened for real. A guy who's out running for president.
And the problem is what?
He told a little kid that he was Batman.
I'm sure that you know, John Kasich does that as well. And
I'm sure he does.
He's not
Scott
Walker. He's a millionaire who wants to fight crime.
Billionaire. I'm rich.
Do it.
He is rich, yeah.
Come on.
Well, I'm very wealthy. I'm very wealthy.
Mr. Trump, how much money do you have? How much do you estimate that you have?
I have about $14,000 billion.
Sir, there's a study that just came out saying that you have at the very most $8 billion.
That is stupid. Don't be a stupid loser and quote articles that are stupid and loserish.
I'm a female. I'd appreciate if you wouldn't talk to a female that way.
Listen, many women are fat, disgusting animals.
Can you name any?
Most of them.
Okay. My eyes are bleeding, and I'm not sure how to proceed, sir. Do you have any advice?
I would say you should put your head wherever. Wherever, I mean your nose.
Okay, because it sounds like wherever means something else, sir.
That would be a perverted, stupid thing to think.
So you've called me stupid several times.
No, but you are a whore.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
Oh, my gosh. But you guys, First Lady Melania...
She's going to be the best-looking first lady ever.
Well, by the way, do you like that that's his new – it was Make America Great Again. And then I saw him on the news just days ago. His new slogan is, I'm going to be the best ever. I'm going to be the best.
Just the best ever.
Just the best ever.
Not even best president ever?
Best ever.
Just everything best
I'm
ever.
I'm the best ever. And also, I love that, like, Eric would be, like, Secretary of Defense. Don Jr., maybe housing and – I mean, like, what?
He would hire the entire family.
Can he even name, like, three cabinet members?
Probably not.
Like, what is the – who is going to be on his cabinet?
I don't know, but we better get used to it when he becomes president. All right, we got to take a break. Kathy Griffin is here. Tickets are on sale now for the Like a Boss Tour coming in November to the Center Theater Group at the Mark Taper Forum. Go to centertheatergroup.org. That's where you buy the tickets. And this information's at kathygriffin.net as well. We'll be right back on K-Rock. By the way, Kathy Griffin's still possibly the best body on any woman her age in
Hollywood. Can't even. I'm not going to apologize.
Could I just say that?
If you think I came here to apologize, you are sorely mistaken. It's a banging bikini bod.
Mm-hmm. I have often said, neck down, Kathy Griffin is awesome.
Right, and the head up, questionable.
Well, not so much.
Yeah, I know. When you're a girl comic, you're just used to this. You sexist pig.
Like a Bus tour is on sale now for the Mark Taper Tour in November.
She's like a boss.
I'm like a boss.
80 cities.
November 4th and 5th.
Although she's like a bus in terms of how many men she can carry at once.
Oh, isn't it the 90s? Oh, the 90s. I miss them. I really do.
Kathy, since the last time you were in,
yeah,
you ended up on stage in Las Vegas with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
How is that?
I don't know why you guys all haven't. First of all, it was a dream. You can see it on YouTube. So Britney's show where she... How shall I describe it?
Lip syncs.
It's a dance extravaganza.
Right. Sure.
It's a dance extravaganza. And she is a living legend. And she has been through so much. I will not let you say anything negative about her. She is just... All right. The eyes are like pinwheels. She's, you know, she's not all there.
She stands in the center of the stage and everyone dances around her.
Yeah,
right?
It's
she's
like Hannibal Lecter. They wheel her out.
She's a maypole.
Yeah. And so she sings a song called Freak Show. And my lovely assistant, John, who may or may not be a member of the LGBTQA2 community.
I'm sorry. I missed those last few
letters. Well, you're being transphobic. Right now, you're being very transphobic.
No, I know the first four letters. I didn't know what
lesbian,
the
gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, intersex ally.
Oh, too. Okay.
All right. Anyway, so he said you should ask to be like the person from the audience who comes up during Freak Show, and they put a harness on me, and Britney walked me around like a dog and whipped me, and I said, where do I sign? So, I mean, there was no question. I will say the best part is that they said, we have to run it by Brit first.
You had to get her okay?
No, first, hold on.
For who
what
she whips?
What does that mean, run it by Brit?
Wake her up?
Her dad,
yes. Yes.
I mean, what kind of council meeting was that where they're like, there's a full agenda, Brittany. We're going to go over hair and makeup and wardrobe. We'll go. So anyway, I encourage you to go see Brit's show. It is fantastic and very entertaining, and she's adorable. So when it came time for me to be the, quote, victim in the song Freak Show, I will say that her gay backup dancers were angels that had descended from heaven, because for a moment it was like I knew what it was like to be Britney Spears.
Wow.
And I did not have to possess one single thought of my own. They told me exactly what to do. Stand here, get on your knees, whip your hair and smile, hug Britney. I mean, it was the greatest 90 seconds of my life.
That seems like a better gig than yours, because you have to actually write jokes and
And I've got to think, and I've got to try to make it all make sense, and the people have to laugh. But no, Britney's got it down. She looks adorable, and every song is a hit. And I got to be whipped by Britney Spears, and nobody else in this room can say that except maybe Patrick Stewart.
Is it just an endless supply of Cheetos and Mountain Dew backstage? That's
yes,
what I envision.
You know what? Her rider is her business, all right? And the outfits are great. And as far as the singing, you know, that's not really required. I mean, I'm just saying, if you're going to nitpick, well, then what? Go see Celine, which you're... I know you've seen Celine countless. Are
you kidding me? She walked me around stage in a harness and she whipped
you
me
and said bonjour, bonjour.
She's saying my heart will go on while she was riding me like a pony.
I know that, and that's who she is. She's always been. So yes, so Britney Spears was like my Christian Grey, and it was fantastic. I don't take it back.
You shouldn't, Kathy. What is what's your favorite reality TV show that's on right now?
Oh gosh, it's all about Bachelor in Paradise.
Right? Bachelor in Paradise.
There are two Caitlins in my life. One, the obvious, and then Caitlin from The Bachelorette. And I just feel that, you know, when she passed on Ben and then passed on Jared, you know, it was left with those two. So I've lost faith in one of the Caitlins. Not I am Kate. I am Kate all the time. It's her world. We're all just living in it. Just deal with it. Okay? And the pronoun is she.
Right.
And if you screw it up, you will get an angry letter from somebody. Anyway, I'm watching Bachelor in Paradise. And, you know, I think they might want to change the title to Bachelor in Sticky, Not So Fun, Buggy. A lot of people cry here. But it's long. It's longer. But I will say Chris Harrison seems to be genuinely enjoying himself in a little bit of a twisted way.
Oh, yeah.
Because the way he welcomes them is pretty much a warning, like, good luck. You're going to get eaten alive by that crazy virgin.
The only way they can try to set these people up more is if they put landmines on the beach.
Yes.
Like when they were playing touch football, someone steps in one and it blows up. That would be the only way
they all blow up.
They could ruin
the guys, the girls.
Every time someone says, geez, I hope this person doesn't show up, boom, the first person
they are.
Is that person.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's great. It's all about that. And it's such a great depiction of what love really should be, which is arranged marriage. It's just that you walk onto a... By the way, they're clearly in Mexico in rainy season because I love when they're like, in the love world, a storm could be brewing. But it's a real storm.
Yeah, that was cut to the skies with thunder and lightning.
It really looks kind of scary. I don't know about those huts, if they'll make it any more than anyone's virginity on Bachelor in Paradise.
What
it's
is your
fantastic.
Take on all the age shaming that's going on for poor Claire, who they're basically calling a cougar,
Claire,
and she is how old?
Right.
30 what?
She's a puma.
She's 33, 34.
She's very old. And I thought it was so encouraging that Jared was a D-bag and said, I don't know if I can do the old lady thing.
There's an 8 years difference between us. It's not
going to
work out.
I mean, come on. She's practically got a wheelchair with the tennis balls on the bottom. And, you know, I understand. So Jared went down a few clicks in my book. But I have to admit, they still suck me in. Not like the Duggars.
Yeah.
Oh, the Duggars.
Oh, I went there.
You, now they're
yeah,
doing,
I'm looking
they're,
right at you, Ralph.
They're putting Duggars. A special together about the Duggars,
well,
right?
Well, they are special. Between the denial and the possible felony counts coming their way, I mean, that is another unexpected. A show based on a loving, Christian, God-fearing family with a secret.
Yeah.
And they're just multiplying like the Kardashians. That's very popular now in reality. There's a lot of multiplying. A lot of maybe, I don't know, Kylie, maybe something going on with Tyga, which would be my dream. Remember when your mom gave you that Lambo with the bow?
I do, yeah.
Me too. Me too. Very relatable. And then you got the lips plumped, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you did your butt plumping cream or
right.
not.
Or not.
I remember all of it like it was yesterday. Yeah.
She's 18 now, just barely, like last week, 18.
But she's celebrating in Canada where she can drink. Mm-hmm. And that is a girl committed to her first drink. When she is going to say, I'm just flying to Canada from L.A., tip it. Tip it. And so bottoms up. And
I like that we're acting like that is actually her first drink.
Well,
I like
yes,
that.
Of course, because
I mean, let's be honest.
I'm sure other than that, it was just some iced tea and a hug.
Right.
So, yeah.
A syringe.
Yes. Now, what do you think? Have you watched even one frame of I Am Kate?
Yeah,
yes.
I watched the whole first episode.
You did?
Yeah.
I watched all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kevin's thinking
Why?
About transitioning.
I'm not, but
Sinking.
I like it.
I've been planning this since the day I met him. I mean, I picture him with a wig, and I just see him as a soft, gentle blonde.
I'd pay such good cash money to see
I know
that.
You
I don't
would.
Think I would be an attractive
would.
Woman. I don't.
It's not. You know what? You're being transphobic. It's not about
right.
that.
It's not
all right?
That. Okay.
She should be whoever she chooses.
Now, what's your relationship with her in real life, Kathy?
You know what's funny? I've never met her.
Oh, that's a
and
surprise.
That is a surprise to me, too. You would think that she and I would be, you know, kicking it at the Abbey or maybe at Chris Colfer's house watching a screening of Mommy Dearest. which has really happened 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Lord. Really?
What could be more fun than to go to the home of one of the Glee kids and watch an old-timey big screen screening in his yard of Mommy Dearest starring Faye Dunaway as Joan Crawford? And it was nothing short of fantastic. And by the way, you know who else was there? Jane Lynch, Amber Riley, and Academy Award nominee June Squibb. Top that, you kids, with your, oh, what's Selena Gomez up to? Oh, I hope Katy Perry isn't mad at Taylor Swift anymore and they give her that nun house. I mean, honestly, there's a whole world out there.
None of us can top your cartoon life.
No, you are rolling. Possible. You're rolling pretty deep, Kathy.
It's like Kathy's life is constantly playing Mad Libs. It's like, just fill in. Give me an activity. Watching a movie. Give me a celebrity. June Squibb. You just write it all down
that's
and you
right.
read it out loud, and that's Kathy's life.
That's right. And after this, I'm actually on my way to a photo shoot. I'm going to be on the cover of Adweek.
Adweek?
Yes.
What?
Don't
what?
Say that like I don't
but
deserve
no,
it, like I haven't earned
of course
it.
Are you in an ad?
I'm not.
Have you ever been in an
yes,
ad?
Yes, I've been in Super Bowl ads.
For what?
I was in one with Shaquille O'Neal who plays baseball or something.
Basketball.
Whatever. He's a big guy and he's famous and guys like him.
All right.
So you're on the cover of that?
Yes. I'm going to be on the November cover of Adweek. You don't know me.
Right.
You don't
apparently
even know
don't.
Me. All you care about is how your transition is going. That's all you talk about.
Did you burst into the door of Ad Weekly's offices and insist they take your picture like you did here? Is that
no,
what
happened? They called me. No. Every so often someone calls me. You know, like the Mark Taper Forum, November 4th and 5th.
Wow, you are
down
terrible
at the at KathyGriffin.com for tickets. Or as Bean says, KathyGriffin.net.
Yeah.
Even
in
though
my
it's
defense,
KathyGriffin.com.
Bean said KathyGriffin.edu, I think he said.
In my defense, Kathy, they're both up. They're both active, but
what?
So you can go to either one if you
well,
want.
Well, I think Patrick Stewart took care of that with his magicry or whatever.
Right.
Is
we have to say goodbye. Or
is he on 24? What show
no.
is he on?
He was
Jack Bauer?
He was on Star Trek The Next Generation.
I don't care about straight
and
people.
X-Men. X-Men movies.
Look, straight guys that are listening, just bring your wives to my show. They'll get it. And you guys can take
fun.
A nap.
It's cute. Do you think there's any straight guys still listening to our
the
show?
The wives like me and you know it.
They're gone. They've been gone for some time now, Kat.
The kids. Well, the grown kids.
Ralph, are we saying goodbye to Kathy, or is she sticking around for the showbiz beat? Is my question for you, sir.
I like to listen. Can I just listen to the showbiz beat? Come on.
Where would you like to sit while you're listening?
Wherever you want. If you're going to kick me out for the showbiz beat,
no.
Just come to that.
Come join us. Sit here with us
all
while
right,
we all
good.
Talk about celebrities.
All right, good.
All right, we'll be right back.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:42.
You all right, Ralph?
Yeah, I just dropped my Sharpie.
The magic Sharpie.
I had to pick up my Sharpie.
But it's so cutting edge that you're working with the Sharpie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm a high-tech
Kathy,
guy.
You don't know. That Sharpie, if you're found in
yeah.
possession of it, he will kill you.
Yeah, what is that about?
This
what's with you the Sharpie?
It's just like a security blanket thing.
Well,
it's bent,
though.
Yeah, right, so I can do this.
So you can twirl it. Okay,
yeah,
I get it. It's the Ralph Sharpie. I got it.
Now you understand.
Yes.
Now you
but he flips out when he doesn't have it.
I've seen it flip out for, like, very little,
that's
by the way.
True.
It doesn't take much.
Kathy and I have been friends for a long time.
A lot of flip outs.
She has seen
a lot of flip outs.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That is the voice of Kathy Griffin here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is here, and we can't get her to leave.
I had to beg to stick around.
We tried
for my
to get her to leave.
Segment.
And
sorry.
Now Ralph's going to try to do the showbiz beat anyway.
By the way,
KathyGriffin.org. If
it's
you want to get all of your information,
go ahead.
Check it out.
Just Sharpie.
It is Monday, so we see what people went to go see at the movie theaters over the weekend. Number one, Straight Outta Compton. $56.1 million made it number one this week.
That's a movie Kathy will never see.
I will absolutely see it.
It's
stop
so great.
Homie.
It's so great. Don't say that.
No, those were, first of all, I met Tupac Shakur, so back off. So,
really?
Yes, I go
when
back
did you
a ways.
Tupac?
When I was on a late night show with Roseanne Barr called Late Night Special, he was a guest star with Snoop, and he showed up. So how about that?
Late night
yes.
special. Now you're just making
it
up.
It was called
credits.
Saturday Night Special. You can look it up. Saturday
wow.
Night Special. Yes.
Hmm. Did you have sexual attraction with him?
Tupac?
Yeah.
No, but he was fascinating to watch,
okay.
as you can imagine. Big star.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, all of us beat. None of us met him.
There you go.
You win.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Ben Sharpie and all.
You win.
Mission Impossible Rogue Nation was second at the box office with $17.3 million. Then Man from U.N.C.L.E. in its debut made $13.5. Good enough to make that number three. Fantastic Four and The Gift. The rest of the top five at the box office. Followed by Ant-Man, Vacation, Minions, Ricky and the Flash, and Trainwreck. Those are your top 10 movies. Donald Trump this morning is being a good American. He is at jury duty. Reported for jury duty this morning.
because he believes in the system. Now, let's all ignore that he was fined earlier this year for not appearing for jury duty several other times. That's because they sent the summons to the wrong address, says his spokesperson.
It's not his fault.
I hate when that happens.
It's not that Donald was ignoring the summons.
No, wrong address.
Part of the beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
That's true. That is part of the beauty of you.
Okay.
Now, everyone is concerned. What if Donald is picked to sit on a jury for like a murder trial, which could go on for months? That could put a serious crimp in his presidential campaign.
There'd be a satellite feed, I'm sure. But he'd give speeches at lunch.
His campaign spokesman said the campaign will go on regardless of whether Donald is chosen to be a participant on a jury or not.
First day, he'll stand up.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
Yes.
Kathy, have you done jury duty since you've been famous?
Of course, but is that's actually not a verdict. You're fired. It's actually guilty or innocent,
I don't think Donald knows that.
Okay, so he just gets to say fired or acquitted.
That's his world.
Fine, that's fine.
All right. I just hope the defendant is of Mexican descent.
I do,
that's
too.
All I care about. So Donald can stand up before he gets to the jury room and say, that's a guilty guy over there. I'm going to build a wall around him.
And they'll and pay for it.
He'll pay for it. Tom Jones is on The Voice in the UK. He's one of the coaches, or he was at least. He got fired this week and replaced by Boy George.
Hmm. How does Tom Jones get fired? What did he do?
That's a great question.
He was the original coach on that show, spent four seasons coaching on The Voice, and he posted on Facebook that they didn't give him any consultation or conversation of any kind. They just told him he would not be back and sent him on his way. And a guy of star of his caliber, he says he's very hurt by the whole situation.
I like him taking to the face place. He's not having it. The face place. My mom calls it the face place. She's 95. She's 95.
Okay. Right. He is hurt, and he said to Boy George, his replacement, do you really want to hurt me?
No, he didn't.
Oh, that's perfect. I believe whatever Ralph says. Very gullible. Very gullible.
Do you guys think it's possible that they were fine with Tom Jones? I'm serious now. This is a serious question. Okay. But Boy George became available, and they said, we can't pass up the opportunity to have Boy George on The Voice. We've got to fire somebody. And then they just decided.
Can't you just add him?
Yeah, can't you make him a mentor or something? Doesn't that show have mentors?
I would think
there'd
be a way.
So you think Boy George would be like a wild card and they'd think, oh, you don't know what he's going to do. Let's just take him. Is that your theory?
I think that they thought whatever they got to do to get Boy George on the show is worth it.
Because he's outrageous.
Because he's outrageous, exactly. And people will tune in just because of the curiosity factor of being Boy George, yeah.
That makes sense.
And Tom Jones, you know, he's already done it for 4 years. He's much older, probably, than the demo of that show. And probably a little bit boring.
But Tom Jones has a massive penis.
Yeah, that's true.
I've heard that. And $1 billion.
$1 billion.
He does. He's incredibly
rich.
He could
run for president.
He wrecked Elvira.
Oh, that's right. I did hear
that
story.
He wrecked Elvira.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he her first, Ralph?
She lost her virginity to Tom Jones.
Oh, how do you recover?
She had to go to the emergency room.
Literally wrecked her.
Yes.
That is hopefully in her book.
It is.
Good.
Yes, Cassandra Peterson, who played Elvira. She lost her virginity to Tom Jones, and then she had to go to the ER afterwards.
That's a good night.
Apparently she got turned inside out or something.
Look, worst things could happen. Worst things could happen.
It's like one of those Playtex gloves when you take your hand out too quick.
Yeah, well, long night.
Sure. You
know. That is an amazing first time story.
Yeah. It is. And speaking of sex and celebrities, Joe Jackson, the patriarch of the Jackson family.
Sure.
Is he dead?
No, but he has suffered a stroke and three heart attacks. Hmm. During a recent vacation in Brazil, apparently, story is that he was overdosing on Viagra.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's a heart rate issue or he's just crazy?
Overdosing on Viagra. Did you think it was something else?
No, I think he took three of them, Kevin.
On purpose?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you take one. It's not quite there. You take another.
Keep going. Until you get to the full Tom Jones. Full Tom Jones. Turn it inside out.
So you've taken two Viagras and nothing's happening, then just lay down and
let
take
it
now.
Go.
But he had a point to prove.
Just go for a back rub. Sure, just spoon.
How about just a cuddle? However, his representative is saying that's not true. It's false.
Oh.
And he'll sue anyone who reports that story. Oops.
Oh, great.
Uh-oh.
See you at the courthouse near the Mark Taper Forum.
By the Mark Taper.
What's up? Hey.
Hope Trump isn't on the jury, or else I'm going away. Today's celebrity birthdays, Juliana Rancic from E! She used to be on E! Is she still on E? I don't know. She's on television. She's 41.
Kathy, what's your relationship like with E! Now? Are you on or are you not on?
Well, I'm not on. I mean, neither. I mean, I'm not,
But weren't you doing Fashion Police for a while?
Yes, I did
what
seven.
You mean neither. You're either on or you're not on.
Well, I'm not like under contract, but I'm not banned. I mean, some of them like out and out banned, so.
But are you currently a host for them is what I guess I'm saying.
Like, no,
will we be seeing
you, know
you at the, after
I'm
the
not,
Emmys?
You,
will
I
we
mean,
be seeing
it's
you?
It's a simple Google search. No, what part of Carnegie Hall don't you understand? understand. No. Right. By the way, I'll be there November 12th, Carnegie Hall, New York, New York.
Go to KathyGriffin.biz. KathyGriffin.biz to find out all that information. Donnie Wahlberg's 46 years old today. What? I know you want to say something.
No, I just feel like Jenny McCarthy stole him from me. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was meant to be that I was to be with a member of BSB or New Kids. That's all I'm saying.
Your problem was believing in vaccinations.
Love? Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say love.
Sean Penn's 55, and Robert De Niro, the legendary actor, is 72 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her up. Before we talk about tomorrow's show, is there anything you want to talk about, Kathy? Is there a plug of
some
sort?
Yeah, I'll be at the Mark Taper Forum, the iconic, in downtown L.A., apparently near the courthouse
is the courthouse.
How I get to your demo. So when you guys are settling those tickets, maybe come see a comedy show. Go to KathyGriffin.com or Ticketmaster. And in my, I guess I'm being escorted out. Ow, ow, that hurts my arms. Ow, I'll go. I love you guys. I miss you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, Tuesday
Kathy.
Morning, Jeremy.
I've got a plug, too, Kevin. I've got a plug, too. K-Rock 2015 summer stickers available at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. You can win a 2015 Dodge Challenger, a trip to see Muse in Mexico City, a Hot Topic gift card. You can enter the code on the back at krock.com. Get information about it there. And don't forget, Beer Mug today is going to be at the Lakewood Center Mall in Lakewood, starting at 1 o'clock from 1 till 3. He'll have additional K-Rock prizes, including tickets to upcoming shows from Foo Fighters, Incubus, Deftones, Vance Joy, Social D, and more. Again, 1 o'clock this afternoon in Lakewood. Say hi to Beer Mug. Details at krock.com.
All right. Tomorrow morning, Jemaine Clement on the program talking about people, places, things. We have Bachelor in Paradise Report.
Mm-hmm.
We have Tony Hale in studio.
Yes.
One of the stars of Veep, also American Ultra. We have Would You Like to Take That Back? Basically, all of Ralph from today. We're going to ask him if he'll take
that
back.
Come on.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.